If you having girl problems, I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one. I got the rap patrol on the gas patrol. Hoes that want to make sure my cash is closed. Rap critics say money cash holes. I'm from the hood, stupid, what type of facts are those? If you grew up with hoes in your zap or so, you celebrate the minute you was having dough. I'm like, fuck critics, you can kiss my whole asshole. If you don't like my lyrics, you can press fast forward. I beef with radio if I don't play they show. They don't play my hits, well, I don't give a shit. So, rap man try to use my black ass. Don't advertise to give them more cash for ass, fuckers. I don't know what you take me as, or understand the intelligence that Jay-Z has. I'm from rags to riches, niggas, I ain't dumb. I got 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one. Hit me.
Everything you say to me.
We are on the air. Thanks for pressing play on your iTunes, your Stitcher, your whatever website or whatever the hell way you are listening to the show. We are the Uncle Mike and Tom Show, your weekly Thursday indie fix, man, covering the best in independent wrestlers and wrestling promotions every Thursday, right here. We're a proud member of the Pro Wrestling Powerhouse family at ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher under the Pro Wrestling Powerhouse banner. And you can get us every Thursday, man. I am your party host, Tom Richards, and this is my co-host, Uncle Mike.
What's going on?
And this week on the show, coming up in a couple minutes, we got Colin Delaney. Yes, that Colin Delaney. Former WWE superstar, former one half of the Olsen Twins tag team, and now, this weekend, he's in the main event of free eye pay-per-view for 2CW, and we're going to have him on in a couple minutes, talk about all that good stuff and a whole lot more, man. Real fun interview, real good dude. And that's not it, though, this week, because we also have our boy, the outlaw himself, Mikey Falcone. And I went to ISW this weekend, Burger King and Ring 2, Double Whopper, and we filed a full report just hours after the show. And we'll pop that on a little bit later, man. So how you doing, man? What's going on?
Good. And I want to thank our boy Mikey Falcone for helping out with the show this week.
Yeah.
The outlaw.
Wow. Yeah, he joined the list of the people like us that are banned from being on websites that ponder, you know? But let me tell you, a couple weeks back, that our boy Kevin Ford slapped a mask on me and slipped me in the back door to do a fan to fan. Cheating the system. But yeah, man, the outlaw, Mikey Falcone, will be on later. And this is just one of like 3 weeks in a row he's going to be on, because he'll be on next week with a live report from 2CW. And the following weekend, we're going to be in Cleveland and Chicago. So we'll have live reports from out there on the shows, and he's going to be part of it for the next 3 weeks. So if you're a Mike Falcone fan,
look out.
You're going to get your fill, man, in the next couple of weeks.
You're going to knock your socks off.
And this is your first time listening. Thank you very much, man. We appreciate it. It's not about us. It's about promoting the best in independent pro wrestling and wrestlers. And the more you get our names out there, the more we can get the good names out there and spread the word. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook.com/ The Uncle Mike and Tom Show. And you can like that page and get us on your timeline every Thursday. On the internet, our home is www.indiewrestlingworld.com/ Uncle Mike and Tom. And that's got an archive of all 66 shows, including the one you're listening to right now. And we're on Twitter at Mike Tom Show. You can find our show on there every week. I'm on Twitter at The Tom Richards. I talk about independent pro wrestling all week long and all kind of news on shows. So if you're a fan of independent pro wrestling, it's a good Twitter to follow, man. And like I said, we're part of the Pro Wrestling Powerhouse family, so you can go to their website and sign up for their iTunes and Stitcher feed and get us every week.
Get
delivered right to you every Thursday, man. So with that, what do you say we go get Colin Delaney on the line and get this show rolling?
Sounds good, but we have something to say to Colin Delaney, don't we?
Yeah, that's right. We had Colin Delaney on, and we forgot to mention while interviewing him, this Friday, tomorrow, is his 10-year anniversary in wrestling, man.
Happy 10.
So if you see him in Watertown Friday night, or at the Free Eye pay-per-view Saturday night in Binghamton, wish him a happy 10th anniversary in the wrestling business.
Yeah. Happy 10th anniversary, Colin.
So let's go get him on the line. And joining us first this week on the show, he is a man that's well-traveled and has been all over the independent scene and has even been to WWE. But this Friday night and Saturday night, he's going to be working for 2CW. And this Saturday night in particular, he's going to be on a Free Eye pay-per-view in the main event going for the 2CW Heavyweight Championship when he takes on IsisFX. Our guest at this time is Mr. Colin Delaney. Welcome to the Uncle Mike and Tom Show.
Well, Uncle Mike and Tom, thank you guys for having me.
We appreciate you taking some time out of your schedule to join us here on the show, as we want to have you on for a long time. So it's great that we could finally get it done.
Perfect. Well, let's hope this isn't the last one. We haven't even done it yet, but I'm sure it's going to be awesome. So I'm going to say let's do it again.
Good. I like to hear your confidence, because you're the one that's going to make it awesome as shit. So I'm happy your confidence is going to be awesome. This weekend, 2CW, Watertown and Binghamton, New York, man. You've been a full-time regular with 2CW for a few years now. And why don't you talk about 2CW for the people listening that don't know about them?
Yeah, I started working with 2CW, I mean, before WWE, before all that. Me and now WWE star Luke Harper started off teaming there, oh God, I don't even know, 07, maybe 06. So, a long time I've been there. And they just, man, they just keep getting better and better. And this weekend, I mean, if you're a fan of independent wrestling, or even if you're just a fan of wrestling, like, look at these cards they have this weekend. It's crazy how many amazing matches there are this weekend. And on Saturday, they're giving them away for free on iPay-per-view. So, like, you literally, nobody has an excuse on why they didn't see 2CW on Saturday.
Absolutely. It's free, man. All they're asking is for your time this Saturday night. And it's a loaded lineup, like you said, on top of it. It's like, you can't go wrong for that price tag.
Right, right. And their last, they did another free iPay-per-view earlier this year.
Yes.
That did so good. And they had, like, what was it? Kevin Steen and John Morrison and Sammy Callahan at Hardy. And just crazy awesome matches on that one. And that one got some pretty rave reviews and got some people looking at 2CW. And hopefully, for those who aren't yet looking at 2CW, this weekend will really solidify it.
Definitely. When they first announced the free pay-per-view last time, I was like, kind of like, huh, that's an interesting strategy. But the buzz they got out of it and the amount of people they got to check it out, I was like, man, this is pretty ingenious to get their name and product out there, and they hit like a home run with the last show. And it actually worked, too, which a lot of people don't seem to have that luck with these days when I pay-per-view.
Yeah, and I think a part of what they had working for them is they didn't really have a wrestling company come in and do their iPay-per-view. They had just like a live sports streaming website come in and do all the production. And I've watched some other wrestling iPay-per-views before, and this one had no glitches. They had a good camera angle. They had good picture quality. The production crew they have running these iPay-per-views, those guys are top-notch.
Yeah, they did a good job first time around. Really enjoyed the show.
And the first time, I mean, speaking of getting the name out there, 2CW sent me to New York City with some of the crew for WrestleCon, and we were handing out free 2CW DVDs at the WrestleCon.
Oh, wow.
And, like, it was so weird because you're at a wrestling convention, and we're just sitting there like, here, check out this free sampler DVD. And it had some awesome matches on it. I think it had a Sammy Callahan, John Morrison match for free, and, like, all these crazy awesome matches. And people would walk up, like, you're at a wrestling convention, walking around, like, getting wrestling things, And we could barely give these DVDs away because whoever's like, no, no, thank you. And they just walk right by. I'm like, it's a free wrestling DVD.
Holy
shit. So I'm sure.
Easy.
Yeah, I'm sure after after the last iFree review, they wouldn't be passing up that DVD now.
And then the night before, Friday night, they're going to be in Watertown, New York, and you're going to be teaming up with Tommy Dreamer, who you had some storylines with back in your WWE run.
Yeah, and that'll be fun. I mean, me and Tommy have run into each other a bunch of times throughout the years since then, but we've never really worked together since WWE. We definitely never teamed together, so it'll be really fun. Tommy's the greatest guy, the nicest person. He was super helpful when I was in WWE, just with everything, not just with, you know, being my partner on TV and helping me out that way, but with backstage stuff and just helping me navigate the crazy world of WWE when I was a 21-year-old kid. So it's always cool to see him, and super duper cool that we get to team together for the first time in 5-6 years.
Wow, man, you were 21 when you signed with WWE, huh?
Yeah, I was. I mean, it was December when I did my first WWE TV and against Shelton Benjamin in Rochester. And I mean, my birthday's in September, so I'd been 21 for like 3 months at the time. I was a kid.
Wow, man, that's crazy to think that age, man. Wow.
Oh my God, I wasn't even a quarter of the way prepared for it. Like I don't know. It's a whole different world.
So while we're getting on the subject of WWE, like, how did that all come about to begin with?
This is a story, man. I feel like I've beaten this story to death, but it is a cool story, so I don't mind telling it again. But I live in Rochester, New York, and I was at my, like, 9-to-5 factory job, and Luke Harper called me up because he was backstage just as an extra at the time of at the TV tapings. And I knew he was back there, so when he called, I was like, oh, man, I wonder what he's got to tell me. Because for those who don't know, I mean, Luke Harper is one of my best friends. We came up in the wrestling together, but me and him backyard wrestled together when, you know, when I was 12 and he was 35. So so we've known each other forever. So he called me. And he's like, what are you doing right now? I was like, oh, working. He's like, how fast can you get down to the Blue Cross Arena? I said, I don't know, as fast as you need me to. And he said, all right, well, if you can get down here in the next, like, 5 minutes, you can wrestle Shelton Benjamin on TV tonight. And I just dropped everything I was doing, and I left my job. And I just,
that's awesome.
I mean, I worked in downtown Rochester. The arena was probably, I don't know, 5 blocks from where I worked, maybe a little more, give or take. So I zipped up there, and everyone, I mean, anybody who's ever been backstage at WWE knows that there's a dress code and everyone is dressed nicely, you know, slacks and button-up shirts. And I sprint in the back door with what I had in my trunk, which was, I mean, a pair of wrestling shoes draped over my shoulder, a pair of knee pads in my hand, and I was wearing a hockey jersey and a pair of jeans with some work boots on. And I go up to the door, and I was like, and then Jamie Noble grabs me, and he's like, you're my guy? I said, yes, sir. So he just takes me around all the backstage people. He says, this is my guy. He's wrestling Shelton tonight. This is the guy. He's wrestling Shelton tonight. And I literally just walked off the street. I have no clue what's going on right now. I'm just being taken around hallways. And while he's taking me around hallways, he's going, you swear to God you can work, kid. You swear to God you can work. And I'm just saying, yes, sir. Yes, sir. And then he shows me some more people, some writers or whatever. This is my guy tonight. This is my guy tonight. And, I mean, I get to the ring. I meet Shelton, and Fit Finley was going to be the agent for the night. We talk. I mean, I'm nervous out of my brains, but I just figure if this is, you know, if this is my one shot, if this is my only chance to be on TV, I'm just going to go out there and do it. Because let's be honest, at 5'9", probably about 155 pounds, WWE wasn't knocking down my door at the time to to get a hold of me. So I went out there and I just figured I'd wrestle my best, try my hardest, and wrestled Shelton. And apparently while I was out there, Scott Armstrong was the ref, and in his headset, he could hear Vince McMahon yelling, "That's how you bump! That's how you sell! Who is this kid?
Wow.
Awesome.
So apparently he was enjoying it. I get through the curtain after I'm done. I thought I did well. I had a good time. I was pretty excited about it. I got through the back, and Vince jumps out of his chair, and he says, "Great job." And then everyone down the line, you know, like Pat Patterson and Michael Hayes and Mike Rotunda and Barry Windham and all these guys I'd watched my entire life are like, "Great job, kid. Great job." And at that point, I just think everyone there is really, really nice.
Right. Exactly.
And then I get through through the tunnel, and I'm just like, "That was great. I had a great time." And Johnny Ace was there, and he says, "Kid, take a walk with me." And they basically said, "We want to bring you back next week." And he actually said, "What are you doing next week?" I said, "I don't know." And he said, "Well, we want to bring you to North Carolina." And I was like, "Cool." And at that point, I think I'm driving to North Carolina, and then he walks by to the agent's room, and he says, set the kid up with a flight and a rental car and a hotel room. And I'm like, this is a gigantic rib. Everyone's messing with me.
Right?
Wow.
Yeah, so, and then, I mean, I guess the rest is history. I remember walking back into the extras locker room. Well, you know, there was a bunch of guys, like Luke Harper was in there, and Michael Tarver was there that day, and Sterling James Keenan, who is now, I can't even think of his SCW, Corey Graves.
Corey Graves, yeah.
He was there, too, and I walk back, and everyone's like, "Oh, man, awesome job." And they're like, "What'd they say to you?" And I just sat down in the chair, and I just said, "I think I just got a job." And they were all, like, the whole room, like, exploded. They were going nuts because, you know, I was one of them.
Wow. That's awesome, man. So now I want to know, like, so, with, like, obviously I would assume your 9-to-5 job, like, knew you were wrestling on the side, right?
Yeah, and I mean, I didn't, like, I guess I did just run out the door, but I did make a quick pit stop at somebody who was mildly in charge and just said, "If I live right now, I can go wrestle on TV. I'm leaving." And then just, like a flash of light.
Because, like, now that you were being flying the following week to television, like, how were they with that, you know? Like, were they cool with you missing time for wrestling?
Well, yeah, because, I mean, they, I guess it's, you know, because I told one person, so then everyone at the factory kind of knew that I'd be wrestling on TV, so they all watched it.
Right.
And then, so when I came in, they were all excited. They're like, "Oh, man, that was so cool." And I was like, "Listen, I'm going to need next Monday and Tuesday off." I flew out Monday. I went to Raw and went to Raw and SmackDown and ECW that week. Flew home, got home around, I don't know, 11 o'clock on Wednesday. Got home, took my suit off, put my work jeans on and my work boots and worked a half day.
Awesome. So when they finally offered you a contract, that had to be like the greatest day of your life, right?
Yeah, it was, I mean, because they just kept bringing me, and I don't know, I kind of started getting nervous because it just wasn't, it kind of wasn't coming. I figured I'd been on TV, you know, it had been over a month. They just kept flying me to the next city and flying me to the next city, and eventually I was just fighting bigger and bigger guys, and I was just thinking, "Oh, man. I was wrestling Kali, I think, the one night, and I just thought, this is the biggest they can go. I mean, no one's even mentioned anything about going to developmental or signing me to a contract or keeping me around. So in my head, I was just like, this could be it. So I was kind of bummed about it, and then they brought me back after the Kali match, and then I did the Miz and Morrison one. And Tommy came out for the save, and then, like, I'd already, you know, at that point, I kind of clicked in my head, well, you know, they have to keep me now. They're already starting something. And that's the night where they, you know, Johnny Ace, I believe Johnny Ace reluctantly offered me a contract. Because, you know, Johnny Ace likes bigger guys, and I was definitely the opposite of a bigger guy. I mean, I'm still not a bigger guy now, but he's from the old school mentality of the you know, wrestlers are bigger. I'm pretty sure that I didn't get a contract for as long as I did because Johnny Ace was trying to hold out and just kind of figured that I'd fizzle out.
Right.
And then I'm pretty sure that I got released, you know, almost for the same reason, because they had to release people and they put it on Johnny Ace, and he's like, know where I'm going with this one.
Yeah, because obviously he wasn't a fan to begin with. Yeah. So looking back at the run, what did you think of your run there?
I couldn't really have asked for more. I think I got a lot more out of 9 months than a lot of people do in their run over, you know, the same period of time. Because there's plenty of guys who have been on, like, up traveling with TV for 9 months, and they're like footnotes. Like, you barely remember their names.
Right.
But I had, I feel like, you know, they put some time into what they did with me, and so I'm still, you know, still, if a skinny guy shows up on TV, whether it be TNA or WWE, if a thin, kind of scrawny-looking guy shows up on TV, the internet world, you'll see everywhere, oh, this guy's the next Colin Delaney. Like, there's a guy just recently, the dude from California who wrestled Ethan Carter on TNA.
Yep.
Yeah,
Peter Avalon.
Oh, my God, right when he hit TV, I was getting text messages from people like, hey, have you seen this guy on TNA? And then I would go on Twitter, and I'd look his name up, and it would just, my name would come up everywhere. So, I mean, you know, I guess I made some kind of impact around there.
Yeah.
Because as a fan watching it, I thought, like, they gave you the perfect gimmick, and it's like a gimmick that's been done so successful over the decades in different territories and ECW with Mikey Whipwreck. And I thought, like, you had, like, the perfect look for it, and, like, everything was so good, and I thought, like, their booking kind of undermined the whole thing, you know?
Well, I feel like they were going, they didn't really know what they wanted to do with it because they didn't really have time to map it out. Because I did just come off the streets, they started to build it, and then they took it in a weird direction, and they tried to turn it around and take it a different direction and, like, kind of backtrack.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, me turning on Tommy was just a way to get to a finish on pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And that was a big mistake, but I really thought I could run with it. I wrestled all the big guys, I wrestled Miz and Morrison, then I get to this thing with me and Tommy against Miz and Morrison, and, like, I may have never gotten a pin, but me and Tommy definitely beat Miz and Morrison. But then, after that, they backtracked into the Estrada thing where I don't have a contract and I've never gotten a win before.
Right.
So that was kind of weird, but then the turning on Tommy thing, you know, came after that. So it's like, it was kind of backwards how they did things, kind of.
Exactly.
And then they just, I feel like they just kind of did that finish because they needed a finish for pay-per-view.
Kind of seems to be like their issue with a lot of things going on in their company and the way things are, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, after they turned me on Tommy, I was ready to roll with it. I went to them and I said, hey, listen, what do I do now? You know, do I cut my hair? Do I grow a beard? Do I get new gear? Do I get tan? Do I, you know, what do I do here? What's my play? What am I now? And they're like, no, you're the same guy. And I was just like, oh, man, this is not going to go well.
Yeah. Yeah, because, like, you're, like, obviously, like, being a heel at your size, man, it's just not going to work.
And that was, I mean, I think that was kind of everyone's thought. The first night where I was a heel, I came out and I did a segment in the ring where I, you know, was live, spoke live on TV and had a lot of lines. And I felt like I really actually nailed the segment. Like, whoa. I didn't think I was going to do that good. So I felt like I nailed it. And then I wrestled Tommy in Philly the night after I turned on him. And we had a really fun match, and, you know, once again, that's mostly Tommy taking care of me. But we get to the back, and I got pulled aside by Ricky Steamboat, who was an agent at the time, and he said, you know what, I think everyone kind of thought when they turned you heel that was kind of a death sentence because, you know, we can't see you as being heel with your size. Yeah. He's like, but what I just saw in the ring with you and Tommy, he's like, you proved to me that you can be a believable heel around here. Yeah. So, you know, at that point, I was flying high. I thought, that's what I wanted. This is perfect. And, you know, then sure enough, well, I don't know, I think I lasted another month.
Yeah.
just about. And like, I wrestled Tommy Dreamer in an Extreme Rules match on TV on a Tuesday. They call me the following Friday, and Johnny Ace tells me, creatively, we have nothing for you. And it's like, hold on a second. I can understand if I'd been off of TV for even a couple weeks, but that's just laziness if you got nothing at this point. Like, I just finished up with, you know, an angle, just finished up like the payoff to this angle, and now creatively you have nothing for me? I don't know about that.
Exactly. Yeah, it is what it is. That seems to be their excuse to everybody. Like, I'm thinking, like, if creative has nothing for me, then isn't the issue in creative and they should be replacing creative people?
right. And, like, I mean, I don't even think that's where I was going with it. I was just thinking, like, I just wrestled on TV in a gimmick match. And now 3 days later, creatively, have nothing. Like,
exactly.
You, 3 days later, you have nothing for me, and so much so nothing for me that you have to release me. I like, that's a total cop out answer. There's a lot of guys who got released from WWE around the same time that I did, and when I talked to them later, they straight up called Johnny Ace out on it. I'm pretty sure Brian Kendrick called him out and said, like, don't, you know, if you're releasing me for XYZ reason, just tell me XYZ reason. Don't give me this creative zone for you.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
And I think Stevie Richards had a similar conversation with Johnny when he got released.
Seems like during Johnny's run, that was like a regular thing. Creative has nothing for you. That was the pat answer to why you were being released, like, every month. That seems like that's the story, you know?
Yeah, I really think that was because if you read the contract that you sign, that's one of the things in there on why they can release you without, you know, like, having to really have a reason.
Yeah.
So I think they kind of have to go back to it, because if they go to, I don't know, if they go to some real reason, they might have a lawsuit for wrongful termination for some people. Not me. I mean, I don't care. Like, I wouldn't have. They could have told me. Johnny could have told me, listen, I think you're too small, and I'd have just been like, all right, cool, I'll see you later. But like, they couldn't. He couldn't physically on the phone say to me, I think you're too small, so we're letting you go.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you, man. Corporate America, that's how it is. Everybody's looking to sue these days, it seems.
Yeah, so they got to cover their own asses, and I get it. And so, like, I just think most of me would have liked a better reason, but I think everyone kind of does. Definitely. Like, you're not going to get one.
Exactly.
It's like you don't get closure.
Yeah, because it's, I don't know, it's like, creative has nothing for you is totally a cop-out answer. And it might be true for some people. I just don't necessarily think it was true for me or a bunch of people who got released. So I wish they could just be honest and say, well, here's the real reason. Like, you know, we think you have a shitty attitude, or we think you aren't good at this, or we think, you know, I don't know, like, you can't cut a promo or something, just not creatively, we have nothing for you.
Yeah. And I especially hate, like, when instances where it's like nothing you did, and it's like their creative was just like totally shitty. So it buries you, and it's like it's your fault that you're not getting over. And it's like they're the ones that wrote the stupid storylines for you that didn't get you over in the first place, you know?
Yeah. There was some. I remember having to read some things that was just not. Just they say to put it in your own words, and I was like, how? How am I supposed to put this in my own words? I would never say any of it.
That's the biggest problem. How they script everybody, so everybody like talks the same. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and that was tough for me. A lot of people can, you know, and for the most part, I could have said whatever they scripted for me because they scripted me as scared kid, which I was. I was 21. I didn't know anything. I was a kid. I hadn't had a drop of alcohol in my entire life before WWE. But I was a kid at the time. So when they give me lines for scared kid, basically, I got that.
Yeah.
But when they give me, I don't know, anytime they strayed into something else, I was like, this is, no, I don't even know what to tell you.
Wow. Well, I remember when you got released, it felt like as soon as the news was out about your release, you were like showing up at Chikara like the same weekend.
Yeah. Oh, the night I got released, I wrestled up in Canada. I mean, I was, I'll be honest, the day I got released, I was, it was a Friday, I was at home. It was probably, I don't know, mid-morning, 10 or 11. I was just getting up, and I saw that I'd missed a call from the office. And so I woke myself up, had a bowl of cereal, I watched the Sports Center. I looked on the internet, saw that they had released a bunch of people today, and was like, oh, I'm getting released today. And I just kept eating my cereal and watching the Sports Center because I was like, you know what? I'm going to sit here and be employed for a couple more hours. And then I finally called him back. He gave me the whole spiel. And then I sat there and I cried my eyes out because, you know, I'm a 21-year-old kid who just had his, you know, lifelong dream ripped from his fingers, it feels.
Yeah.
So I sit there and bum out for a little bit. And then I think about it and I, you know, Luke Harper and Jimmy Olsen and some other guys, Cloudy and Cheech, are headed up to Canada that night for a place that I used to work for, UWA, which is always a great place to work for.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? Fuck it. I'm calling. I'm getting on this show tonight. Let's do this. I'm still an indie wrestler. I've only been off the indie scene 9 months. I'm ready.
That's awesome, man. That's, yeah. I wish everybody had your attitude, you know?
Oh, I wasn't ready, though. I didn't realize that I hadn't actually wrestled in 9 months. So I went out there and we did me and Jimmy together again against Cloudy and Cheech, which we've done, you know, hundreds of times. And oh my god, halfway through that thing I was dying. And I see these guys who I've worked with for my entire life running circles around the ring, and I'm just like, did we used to do, is this what we used to do? I'm so serious. What is this?
Awesome.
That's they never change, like when you got there, like how you'll hear these like younger guys getting signed, going down to developmental, and how they reprogram you or whatever. They never made you do something like, you know what I mean, like work different or anything, or
no? I mean, they gave me very little direction outside, keep doing what you're doing. Which is really weird because, I don't know, especially like, I keep bringing up that I was a kid, but I was a kid! At that point, I could have used some direction, you know? I didn't know anything. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know. WWE is a whole different world from indie wrestling. It's not the same at all. If there's difference, I don't know. I feel like developmental would have helped me prepare for the road a little bit better and would have helped me prepare for the locker rooms a little bit better and the hierarchy and the politics and that kind of stuff, which, I'll be honest, I went through my entire 9 months not honestly worrying about any of that, not really for a day. I just went through with a smile on my face, going to TV every week, and just happy to be there. Like, I don't know, I just, in hindsight, though, I could have been better prepared by something like developmental.
Yeah. How bad was it in the back?
I mean, I don't even know because of how just, I don't know, just smile on my face, walk around, and just blissfully ignorant, I guess I was.
Yeah.
I didn't worry about it. Like, people would come up and be like, oh, have you talked to the writers? And I was like, nope. You know, like, they were all pitching angles and, like, trying to, you know, secure a better spot and make sure they had a spot, and I was just like, happy to be here, whatever you want, sounds great.
Yeah, why be a pain in the ass, right?
Right, and why worry about it? I mean, even then, I was just like, you know what, if it ends tomorrow, it ends tomorrow. I did it, and I'm going to keep doing it.
Yeah.
At least you didn't let it get to you. Because like you said, probably a lot of people, you get released and it's like probably the end of your fucking world, you know?
Yeah, I let it end my world for about, I don't know, an hour.
Yeah, because like so many guys, man, they get cut from developmental and then you never hear from them again in the wrestling business. It seems they
a lot of those guys weren't indie wrestlers necessarily, you know, like a lot of those guys didn't really have much of a wrestling career outside WWE, whereas I mean, my wrestling career was just starting. I mean, I was 4 years in, I guess, four-ish, when I went to WWE. That's just getting started, and I'd already seen the independent world, and was already kind of making a little bit of a name for myself in the independent world before WWE.
Mm.
So I was just like, I'm going back, you know, like, I don't know. I'm trying to think of a good example. What was that guy's name? Oh, and I can't think of it. He was in ECW for a while and waved a towel. He was like a football player guy.
Ortiz.
Yeah. Like, okay. He was just like a football player dude who they find a developmental. Like, if he's not going to wrestle after he gets released, I get that. Like, that makes sense to me.
Definitely.
I would, you know, whatever. But that's not me. I'm a wrestler. This is what I want to do. I didn't get into this saying, well, I'm going to go to developmental, and then I'm going to be on TV, and then I'm going to, you know. I got into this because I love wrestling, and even if WWE wasn't going to work out, I was still going to make wrestling work out in any way I could.
Yeah. And oddly enough, he still wrestles.
Yeah.
Does he really?
Yeah. I know he was, like, working Puerto Rico and stuff.
Good for him.
What? That's actually good to hear. I'm surprised.
No,
I thought, man, what a terrible draw the name. I'm sure there's people that could have picked. I just remember talking to him when he first got brought up, and we were just talking about how he's basically got, like, a football background and, like, played football in college and, you know, went to developmental. And I was like, oh. So he's just the kind of guy who I just think of like, hey, he probably doesn't really wrestle anymore.
Yeah. Nice. Last I knew, he was still wrestling.
All right, I'm going to come up with a better name for next time. the idea that I would even think of another one off the top of my head right now is ludicrous.
So let's change gears and let's talk about how you got into the wrestling business, because you actually started off as a commentator?
Yeah, I mean... It was from a childhood, all I ever wanted to do was be a wrestler. You know, some people wanted to be an airplane pilot or a doctor, and I was like, I'm going to be a pro wrestler. Mm-hmm. And I guess a lot of people grew out of that when they were in their teens or in their, you know, preteens. And I never did. It was just all I ever wanted to do. So I went to all the local wrestling shows. I met all the local wrestlers. And then once wrestling started, you know, happening closer to me, I just kept going around and helping out with the ring and staying around, and then they needed I just offered my services, said, hey, I can ring announce, hey, I can commentate, hey, I can do whatever you need. So I kind of became the commentator / ring announcer around the upstate New York area when I was 14, 15 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, so they would have me, a lot of shows would have me do live commentary, which now I hate. I think it's the stupidest thing ever on a wrestling show. To have live, you know, over the PA system commentary.
Totally agree.
But, yeah, it's the worst. But at the time, I was doing that in almost every promotion in upstate New York.
Wow.
I was traveling town to town with some of the other boys when I was 14, 15 years old doing that and ring announcing. And then once a wrestling school reopened up here in Rochester, because there wasn't one for a little bit, one reopened when I was 16, and that was it for me. I started there, and first day of school opened, I was there.
So who do you credit with actually training you?
I mean, the school I came out of, Hellcat, was the one who opened it, and he was the main trainer. But then, like, outside of him, it was kind of a little bit of a community training deal where guys like Jimmy Olsen, who's actually a month younger than me, but started wrestling at 14. So he already had 2 years under his belt when I started, so he helped train me. Luke Harper, who, like I said, I backyard wrestled with, but once again, he was significantly older than me. If he's listening to this, significantly older than me. he had started up a bit before me, so he was around helping out, and it was really a community training, but like guys like Dunn and Marcos, Rinker Express were always there. I can't think of two guys that I learned more from in my early days in wrestling than Kevin Dunn and Nene Marcos.
Right. Yeah. And Nene Marcos still in 2CW these days, speaking to him.
Yeah, I mean, he actually just moved down to Florida.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, so no more Nene Marcos, but wow. I did just do a show with Kevin Dunn this past weekend. He's still at it.
Well, I didn't even know Kevin Dunn. I haven't seen Kevin Dunn's name in forever and a day. Yeah. That's good to hear.
Yeah, he actually stopped wrestling for a little bit, had a knee injury, and now just came back recently, just doing like local shows. But those guys were so influential back in the day to me, because they were also, when I was first starting up, they were going to Ring of Honor and trying to make names for themselves and really, really getting out there. They were the first guys I saw from my area really, really try to make it.
Yeah, and there was a perfect example. Like, they got the same type of gimmick in Ring of Honor, and it worked, and they were really goddamn over in the early days.
Oh, my God, they got super over. And the thing was, I mean, when I first started training, I was 16, when I was 16, 17, I used to travel on weekends when I didn't have shows. I used to travel to Ring of Honor with them. I used to help out with the ring. I used to, you know, do that whole thing, too, because it was I saw them doing it, and they were guys I looked up to, and they were guys who I saw going for it. So I thought, I'll travel with them. I'll do whatever I have to do.
Yeah, definitely. It's being smart. So how did you end up hooking up with Jimmy Olsen?
It actually just kind of happened that he was in a different tag team when I first started training, a tag team called the Amazing Technicolor Dreamboats.
All right.
Yeah. He was already in kind of a team, but the guy he was teaming with was kind of going through injury problems. So they literally groomed me to be Jimmy's partner. So I was trained from day one knowing that when I was ready, I was going to be Jimmy's new partner. So I was with Jimmy from day one.
All right.
Even before day one, I walked into that school, they were like, "You're Colin Olsen."
And I take you two enjoyed working together since you've been together for 10 years, off and on?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Jimmy's family to me. I mean, we've done it all together. Jimmy just moved down to Philly not too long ago.
Wow.
So, but he had that ankle injury that really, really nagged him down towards the end and really, really, I don't know, took him down a peg. He couldn't wrestle to the, because, I don't know, this is probably my opinion, it's probably completely biased, but Jimmy is one of the most incredible wrestlers I've ever seen in my entire life. And anybody who's really worked with Jimmy or really paid attention and watched Jimmy work, you'd know he's one of the most. He was way underrated.
Oh my God!
Yes. And so when he hurt his ankle and couldn't wrestle to that level, I mean, he could still today wrestle to a level that's way beyond people on these shows, on plenty of shows around anywhere in the world. but he, with the ankle injury, can't wrestle up to the level that he used to wrestle at, which was, like, way above everyone else. But he refuses to wrestle down. So he's hung him up for now.
I get that. Because I used to bowl, and I became really good, and I blew out my back. And it's like, when you can't do something at the level you used to do it, it just drives you nuts.
Right. Like, I mean, I'm sure you would still, if you went down to the lanes, you could still wipe the floor with a bunch of the people there. But you aren't.
What you were,
up to the
yeah.
level that you once were, and you're not willing to bowl down.
Exactly. That's totally. I get it, man. That drives you nuts mentally, you know, when you know.
For sure, that's why guys like Barry Sanders retired at a young age. He probably, and everyone says, I can't believe Barry Sanders. He probably could have had 4 or 5 more years in the league. And it's like, well, he probably saw. Well, my game's kind of deteriorating. I refuse to play at any level that's not my best.
Yeah.
It's like, as a fan of football, man, the fact that we lost out on so many years of Barry Sanders, like, so sucked.
But then I'm a huge football fan, too. But on the other side, you watch guys like, I can think of a billion examples. You watch guys like Larry Johnson.
Yeah, start bouncing from team to team at the end.
Right, because they're not at their best anymore. They have these incredible years, and then they just kind of fall off. That could have been the deal with Barry Sanders. He could have just said, listen, I know what's about to happen. I'm not at that level anymore, and I refuse to let anyone remember me as anything else. Sean Alexander, great example. He was MVP of the league 1 year, and then a couple of years later, he's a backup on the Redskins.
Very true.
You know, there's a ton of running backs in that exact class. Priest Holmes, Willie Parker. Remember him for a couple of years in the Steelers?
It seems like as soon as you hit 30, man, you're just done as a running back. It's over. You know?
Right. There's a couple of examples of that not happening, but those guys are the exception, not the rule.
Yeah.
Barry Sanders, I think, was just a little bit ahead of that and just saw, I'm not at my best anymore. See you later.
So when Jimmy decided he retired, like, was that like a blow to you? Were you excited to go singles?
I had been singles a little bit around just because the WWE run, so a lot of people were already booking me singles. Me and Jimmy, actually, when I first came off TV, we didn't do the team thing again for a while. And then...
I remember you ended up feuding in Chikara for a while there.
Yeah, we had a really great match, I thought. The one where I came out in the tassels and he came out as Equinox. I got him to take the mask off. I thought that match, I still think that match is great, and I could still watch that one over and over again. We feuded a bunch of places, and then when he decided he was going to be done, we did a little bit of a farewell tour with him. Me and him wrestled in AIW, and me and him wrestled in 2CW, and had two really good matches. The one in AIW is crazy. It's nuts. If you want to go out of your way to watch a match, man, check that one out. I'm really proud of that one.
Is that the retirement match?
Yeah, that's the one where he does a little speech afterwards.
Yeah. I remember at the time, like, fuck, man, I hope this is a work and this is going to be an angle.
Yeah, I try to get him to come back for things all the time. I text him at least once every couple months asking about this or that. Just trying to, even if it's not wrestle, just... maybe just come to this. Because mostly, I just miss being on everything with him for my entire life. You know, we were, even if we weren't teaming, we were still traveling together. We were still on the road together. We still, it was all I knew. I still just miss having him around.
Yeah. Nobody never even thought of maybe even like a manager, referee, anything?
Well, I mean, at first when he first said he was going to stop doing it, I believe his plan was to keep in, like, some kind of managerial role type, but that kind of just fell apart. And I just think it would have been hard for him to stay around it and not do it. He's also that kind of guy where if he's going to just keep being around it in a managing role, he'd been back in the ring before, you know, in no time.
Yeah. So, since you've done both a ton, do you prefer singles or tag team wrestling in general?
I don't know. And for years I've told everybody, tag team wrestling. I'm a tag team wrestler. I love to tag team wrestle. But lately, in the last, I don't know, in the last year, I've really put in a lot of hard work at this wrestling thing for the first time, really. You know, got myself in shape, got myself, you know, some new gear, really, really putting my all into wrestling. And since I've actually been doing that, I think I prefer singles now.
Yeah, he likes the spotlight to himself.
Kind of. And I think it's also kind of Jimmy's fault. If Jimmy was still around, I'd be like, oh, yeah, I'm a tag team wrestler. But yeah. I've tried to I've tried to do teams with other people. It's just me and him were always on the same page. We didn't have to say a word to each other, and we would have the timing and the continuity together, which it's not the same with anyone else. I don't know.
Yeah. Something I wanted to ask you about. I hope you remember this. But I remember going to a 2CW show. I believe it was 2011. Yeah, this is...
Okay.
All right.
Oh, and, God. If it's 2011, was I teaming with Jimmy still?
Yes, you were teaming with Jimmy. And I believe you were actually the 2CW Tag Team Champions. And you weren't the best around this particular night. And I believe it was you and not Jimmy. I just remember post-match, a fan getting punched.
Oh, yeah, that was me. That was me.
Well, it's funny because that actually led to my podcasting career because a friend of mine was doing a podcast and I was telling about it on the phone. He's like, yo, would you come on my show right now and talk about it?
Oh, man. And, I hate to have that kind of reputation, but I guess I sprayed water out of my mouth from up on the corner, and like not like in a spitting, not like in like in somebody's face, but like in the air in that general direction.
Right. Yeah, I remember exactly.
And I hopped down off the apron, and I gave that guy the little, like, shoulder shrug, like the pump fake. I gave him, the shoulder shrug. And he flinches and then just spits in my chest.
Yeah, I remember that.
And, whoop, yep, that's it. Yep. I just went right over and just slugged him in the face. He don't spit. I spit water in the air in a direction where you were. You do not, like, spit in my chest. Security got there fairly quickly. Actually, right after the guy spit at me, security was going over to get him. So I'm a righty, so I had to swing left over the security guard and just, I got him, I knocked him back into his seat, and the security yoked me out of there.
I remember it. I was like, holy shit, what the hell just happened?
Yeah, I remember you told me about it. I wasn't there. You told me the next day. He's like, yo, call the lady, deck some guy.
I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, that's, and I wish I could say that that's the only time that's happened to me, but it's not. There was another time, like, in the same, oh, man, it was probably, like, not even a year before, like, in the same time frame, I punched a guy in Rochester, too. I don't know what my deal was, and like I I was at a show in Rochester, and me and Jimmy and Danny Doring did this big turn angle thing where we jumped Stevie Richards, and the crowd was pretty rabid for it, and this guy was just giving me so much shit behind me, calling me a pussy, yada yada, saying he's in the military and he can take me, and put this guy sloshed. So I turned around and I just said, listen, pal, I'm on this side of the rail, you're on that side of the rail. It's that way for a reason. And then he's like, I could knock you out. I was like, I dare you to knock me out. This guy takes a swing. He doesn't connect because he's so drunk, but I dipped my head back a little bit, and I swung, and I drilled him. And then Jimmy came from the other side of the ring, like ran and Superman punched him, and let this guy down, and now the locker room empties.
Wow.
And we are in, it's a full-on riot. It went a little crazy. I don't know, you guys know Dalton Castle?
Yes.
Dalton Castle was just there as a fan. Dalton Castle is, like, mine and Jimmy's best friend. Like, I went to kindergarten and first grade with Dalton Castle.
Wow.
Jimmy, not to totally get off track, but I went to kindergarten and first grade with Dalton Castle. I transferred schools for second grade through the rest of my, you know, schooling. Jimmy transferred into that school that I just left in second grade and became best friends with Dalton.
Wow.
That's weird.
So he was just there as like a spectator, like watching the show, and he sees us getting into a fight. He's in the balcony of this building, runs down the stairs, spots this guy, jumps off of a chair, and launches himself at this guy, and he also punched the guy in the face.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Best friends.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
So if you're listening and you like to get drunk at wrestling shows, don't challenge Colin to a fight, because he will swing at you.
Listen, don't... I'm all for having an adult beverage or two and getting a little out of control. But know where you are.
Yeah.
and know what you're doing there. That show where I punched the guy in TCW, that was in Binghamton.
Yeah.
That's where the iPay-per-view is going down this Saturday. And we call it the Madhouse. And we call it the Madhouse for a reason. That same building, there was a riot started because somebody threw a chair from the crowd in the ring and almost hit Luke Harper, and he took four guys out in the parking lot.
Wow.
In Binghamton. Yeah. So the alcohol flows in there. The beer is cheap in there. Not that I really have to sell people on coming to the venue, because I think it's probably near sold out. If it's not completely sold out, it's probably pretty close.
Right.
Listen, if you're looking to come to Binghamton... Get your tickets. Get them in advance, because it's going to sell out, and it's going to be crazy in there.
Absolutely. Because the way I've always said on this show, like, over and over, like, that little VFW that they run, I think it's a VFW, American Legion, whatever it is, it's like one of the best little wrestling atmospheres in the country. In North America, for that matter, man. They pack that place, and the crowd's so hot.
I think for the I-3 review, they're opening up the stage, and they're going to put seats on the stage.
Ooh,
and, listen, they're going to pack as many people in that building as they can get in that building. And
awesome.
it's going to be nuts. Like I said, we call it the Madhouse, and there's a very good reason for that. I'm not saying things don't get off the chain in Binghamton for the I-3 review.
Yeah, man, I think with that crowd alone, it's going to be quite... the experience on iPay-per-view, free iPay-per-view this Saturday night. And
it's about as close to like an old-school ECW feel as I've seen on the indies, just as far as rabid...
Definitely.
Just rabid fans.
I said the same thing. It's about the closest you're going to get to the old ECW arena during the ECW days, on a smaller scale, but it's the same type of feel.
It's bonkers in there.
And you're going to be main eventing this Saturday night, fighting ISIS FX for the 2CW championship.
Yeah, ISIS is actually a really good friend of mine. Me and him have become really close friends over the last couple of years, but competitive friends in that. We wrestled twice this year in 2CW, and we've split the series down the middle, 1-1. I beat him the month before he won the 2CW title. I know I can beat him.
Right?
And, not to get all, I'm a big, tough pro wrestler, but winning the 2CW title means a lot to me. Because I've been working really hard in 2013 to, turn my image around a little bit and turn my everything around and make a name for myself again in wrestling and prove to people that I am as good as I know I am. So... winning the 2CW heavyweight title would, I think, really cap it off for me. It would really prove to myself and help prove to everybody else that that I'm not messing around, and I am as good as I know I am.
And this isn't the first time this year that your main event in iPay-per-view for the promotion's championship is you were put in the same spot back at the beginning of July for AIW and Absolution. Seems like you're the man a lot of these promotions are calling on to help sell these iPay-per-views.
Yeah. Eric Ryan at Absolution, AIW is another home of mine. And I really, like I said, I think it's just because I'm really putting the work in this year. And it's paying off, and people are seeing it, and I'm happy about it, and I'm happy to do it, and all I want is the chance to prove myself. You know, if anybody out there hasn't really seen me wrestle this year, let's be honest, last year was a throwaway. if you came to an indie show and saw Colin Delaney last year, I'm sorry. you saw the same old shit. And you're probably like, oh yeah, this is about what I expected. Don't expect that anymore. Cause I don't expect that for myself anymore. I'm still young. I'm 27 years old now. I'm giving it my all. So if you haven't seen me since WWE, or fuck, if you haven't seen me in 2013, check out this iFreeperView.
Yeah, you're in the, easily the best shape of your entire career right now.
Entire life. I don't think I'm as close to abs as I've been since I was a child.
Wow. Yeah, I couldn't believe once after a while didn't see it there for a little bit and then he came out and like, holy fuck, yeah, look at the fucking shape he got
into. Well I tried to make the turnaround as dramatic as possible so people would be like, oh, whoa, what in the world?
Yeah, as a fan, it felt like it was overnight.
Yeah, it wasn't overnight as I tried to make it feel, but it was pretty close to overnight. I tried to wear it, like, when I was wrestling a lot of places, I tried to kind of slug myself up a little bit as much as possible while I was still trying to get in shape, if that makes sense, to try and make it more dramatic.
Exactly. But that's cool, though, that you're motivated, you're in the best shape of your life, and you're having great matches.
Yeah, I really feel like I'm doing the best stuff I've done, and I'm having a blast doing it. And this weekend is really what the whole year pretty much builds up to. This weekend, and then next weekend I got a huge weekend, too. But this weekend, man, these two CW shows are all going to be crazy. If you're near Watertown or Binghamton, come down and check them out live. Like, Watertown is a fun venue, too. And I just saw they announced Kevin Steen and the Young Bucks against Johnny Gargano and Ohio is for Killers. Mm. That match is going to be insane.
Right? That's like, man, I wish Watertown wasn't so fucking far north. Because we live down here in Pennsylvania. It's like, man, I would love to go to Watertown for a show, but it's such a hike. I wish both shows were on iPay-per-view this weekend.
I know. Well, I mean, the iPay-per-view is stacked in itself with the Young Bucks against the Dojo Bros.
Yeah. Whoa,
get out of here. Like, that's a match that, I think PWG may have done, but the East Coast has never seen. The East Coast rarely gets to see the Young Bucks, and they're probably the best tag team in professional wrestling right now. Not to mention the fact that Dojo Bros, Roderick Strong and Eddie Edwards are individually two of the best wrestlers in the world right now. Put them on a team. You literally have four of the best wrestlers in the world in the ring together for free on iPay-per-view. You do not have to do anything. You have to go on your computer and you have to watch it.
How could you go wrong, man?
You can't. There's no losing.
Absolutely, man. WWE.
I think there's I'm trying to think what the rest of the card is for the iFreeperview, but I think, I mean, there's a tag team tables match with Ohio's for Killers. If I'm correctly wrong, isn't there like a Michael Elgin AR Fox match?
Yes, Michael Elgin against AR Fox is Saturday night for free.
For free! You're like, I can't stress enough. And I don't even feel like I need to, because it's crazy if you're not watching this. If you are a wrestling fan, and I mean, if you are at your, you know, particular favorite indie show, but I don't think your favorite indie show is running, everybody.
Right?
If you like wrestling, if you like any wrestling, check out this. I agree with you. You have to. You owe it to yourself.
Absolutely, man. Kevin Steen's in the house. Johnny Gargano against Jason Axe in the 30-minute Iron Man match.
Man, Adam Pierce.
Pierce is going to be there. He's in a four-way with Gregory Iron and Nick Anno.
Ooh, Gregory Iron.
Ooh. And Dalton Castle, yeah.
Yeah, Dalton Castle that we
there
thought. Speaking of Dalton Castle, he's a guy that, man, he's another, I think, just people need to see him. You know, I think he's got like the potential to be a really big star.
He's, once again, he's one of my best friends. He's been around wrestling just as long as I have. He just actually started wrestling way later because he had a really serious collegiate wrestling career before pro wrestling, where he was like, you know, college All-American status.
Wow.
So he didn't pick up, like actually start training for pro wrestling until after he was done with his collegiate career. He's been around it with me and Jimmy. We used to call him the Roadie. I still have friends in the wrestling business who know Dalton Castle as the Roadie because he used to travel show to show with me and Jimmy.
Wow.
He was just our friend who would come to shows.
Awesome.
Wow.
So he had some road experience before he even stepped foot in the ring.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm actually really looking forward to that match, too, because, I mean, Nick Ando is the guy who me and Jimmy trained, so good to see him in TCW now getting a shot, because he is super underrated and a guy who is definitely someone who's going to make a splash and people need to look out for in the coming year.
It'll be the first time this week and I actually get to see him. I haven't seen him work
yet. And Jimmy... He's really come a long way, and I think he's super talented and definitely ready to break out in 2CW's. This iFreeperview is going to be the first chance a lot of people get to see him, and I think they're going to be very pleasantly surprised. Are you guys coming to Binghamton?
Yes, I'm going to be there live.
I won't be.
Nice.
But I will be. I'll be there in person. Right. I never miss Binghamton shows, man. Always a good time.
It's nuts in there. I'm actually, I've tried to become a member of the American Legion there just because we wrestle there so frequently. the bartender knows me, so she usually doesn't give me too much shit about going in the members only bar.
Nah, lucky you.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter if you're in a Legion by where you live, it don't matter. You're able to use the card no matter where you're at if you join one of those Legions though, right?
Right, right. But I want to be a member of that one specifically.
He wants the card.
Yeah. I want the card that says, I am from the Binghamton American Legion, because I just think that American Legion is badass.
Definitely. It's going to be rocking this Saturday night, man. 2CWWrestling.com for all the information on how you can check it out this Saturday night or pick up tickets for Friday or Saturday.
Yeah, please. I mean, I don't even know why I would have to tell you to go to this or watch this. Check out the website. Look at the rundown of the cards. If you're anywhere near Watertown or you just got nothing better to do on Friday, get out to Watertown. And then Saturday, no excuses. Just turn your computer on and flick it on. It's going to be the stream quality is amazing. That's, I think, what a lot of people worry about with a free-for-view because they see it's free and they're like, quality's probably going to be junk. The quality is amazing. It's probably better quality than iPay-per-views that you paid money for.
Yeah. No, that's true.
And it's free.
Can't
please,
go wrong.
Yeah, everybody, just check it out. Go to the website, 2CWWrestling.com. Check out all the information on the cards and the link to the iFreeperview. And check it out. Tweet me. Let me know what you thought about it.
Yeah, man. That's it, man. Definitely. You got any other dates coming up you want to promote while you're on here?
Sure. I mean, the following weekend, so next weekend, Friday, on Black Friday, I will be at AIW for Hell on Earth.
Good. So will we.
oh, really?
Yeah.
2 weekends in a row. Rock on.
Yeah.
So I'll be there. Not sure what I'm doing yet, but I have that. That follows that Saturday. I'll be in Buffalo, New York for ESW Wrestle Bash.
Wrestle Bash.
Which has, Kevin Nash will be there, Trent Beretta, Johnny Gargano, Rhett Titus, a bunch of names. The Colony will be there. Just a pretty stacked card in Buffalo. And then that Sunday, I'll be up in Hamilton, Ontario for Alpha One Wrestling.
Alpha One Pro.
Yes.
Which also, that's got Ethan Page, Josh Alexander, Johnny Gargano will be there, Trent Barrett will be there as well.
Wow.
So a bunch of stacked cards coming up and a couple of big weekends. So if you want to come check me out at any of those, I'll put all the information on my Twitter if I remember. My Twitter is @extremelycute.
Boom. Great Twitter to follow, man. You're entertaining to read your tweets.
Thanks. Sometimes I forget about it, and then I feel bad. But I'll try and keep it more up to date, especially with these big weekends coming up, so everyone knows where they can come out and see me and check this stuff out.
Well, it's always great when you follow like a wrestler, and he's like a big fan himself, so you know, like he loves the business, and it's just not a job to him. And clearly, you're a huge fan.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not a huge fan of wrestling and you're in wrestling, what are you doing here? Okay, come on, we're all fans of it. We gotta be. If you're not, you're fucking up.
You're fucking up, man. But it's good the business hasn't turned you bitter, because unfortunately that happens to a lot of people.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't think I have anything to be bitter for. I've had a great time wrestling. Still can do it, and I don't think I've ever loved wrestling more than I do right now, which is crazy to say. I mean, maybe when I was like 9 or 10, maybe I loved wrestling a little more than this, but I'm not sure. I love it a lot right now. It's a really cool feeling.
That's good to hear, man.
That's a good thing to hear.
Absolutely.
We appreciate you coming on, man. This has been fun.
Anytime
you guys want me back, I'm always willing to come out. I love doing these things.
Cool. We'll definitely have you back every once in a while, like, talk about what's going on, your latest adventures.
We still got to touch base on a lot of stuff.
If you just want to talk about NFL running backs kind of fizzled out, we can just talk about that for an hour.
Yeah, I'll do that too.
I was trying to think of the weirdest tangent I got off on, and I was like, yeah, that one will work.
You a big college football fan, too?
I am.
Cool.
And I'm a Notre Dame fan, so,
Well, let me tell you this, Mr. Notre Dame fan. I happen to be a longtime Florida State fan. So come
the second week
in January, when we beat Alabama in a national title game, you can live vicariously through us and see how it's actually done this year.
I would actually be living vicariously through you. I think Florida State's got a great spot this year.
Yeah,
Jameis Winston is on point. I got nothing against Florida State. I thought you were going to tell me you were like a big Michigan fan, and I was going to spike my toe in the ground.
Wow.
Nope, Florida State all the way.
All right, I can get behind that.
I thought next year was their year because they're really young, but they're goddamn amazing, man. I guess maybe this year is going to be the year. Then they can repeat next year.
Yeah, man, this year could be the year, and for them, next year they can be just as good. They're dangerous right now.
Yeah. They got, like, practically everybody coming back, and Winston's only
a
freshman.
That's the crazy thing. Winston's a freshman.
That team's
covered in young guys and underclassmen who are going to be there for a couple years, so... Yeah, Florida State's in good position. We'll see about Alabama, though. They're just dirty nasty.
Yeah.
I just wish they had a harder schedule.
Who do they play this week? Chattanooga or something?
Chattanooga. My God, Chattanooga, you don't even see them on the football tickets once all year.
I think doesn't
Florida State play Idaho, though?
Yeah, we got Idaho. But at least they're Division I, and not, like, they actually have lines and spreads on their games, you know?
That's That's true, that's true. But come on, the Idaho Vandals? Like,
yeah,
they might as well be Chattanooga.
Hey, man, we're giving them 57. They're a good
57.
Yeah.
57, holy fuck. Why even have
they're
going to
need it.
They're going to beat it. Holy shit. That's like this past week. The game started. I look at the thing. It wasn't even like 1 minute into the game, and they're already up 7-0. The score comes up the next time. It wasn't even 9 minutes yet, and they were already up 14-0.
Yeah, Idaho's no slouch. I'm just kidding. They're going to get demolished.
Yeah, they were good a couple years ago, though.
Really? I don't remember that.
Yeah, they had a good year.
Oh, I was taking them every week. Probably about like three, four years ago. They were covering almost every week, Idaho. That's when like Boise, had their real big run.
Just because they were covering doesn't mean they were good.
No. Actually, I'm going to hit you with some fucking goddamn facts here for a second. You want to know why they were good? Dennis Erickson was their coach for like a season or two before he went to Arizona State. So while he was there, they were actually pretty decent.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to drop a little fact on you. I'm a San Francisco 49ers fan, and fuck Dennis Erickson.
Ooh, wow, look at that.
Yeah, I got no love for Dennis Erickson being a Florida State fan, for him being from Miami.
He ruined us.
Yeah, at least you're finally fixed again.
I can't believe they're not playing better than what they are.
I can't believe you just referenced Dennis Erickson.
I don't believe we're talking about Idaho football.
Jesus.
Thank God for football season, though.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I'm saying.
With that, man, I think we're going to call it an interview, man. We appreciate you coming on. This has been fun.
Yeah, and if you need any parting words, we can leave on this. Fuck Dennis Erickson. I'm just kidding. 2CWWrestling.com. Check out these shows this weekend. They're going to be fucking bananas.
Cool.
Got that right. And if you're in the area, man, don't fuck up. Just get there in person. And if you're not there, free pay-per-view Saturday night.
Yeah, if you don't check out CCW this weekend, you're fucking up.
Exactly, man. That's it. You heard it from Colin Delaney himself, and he's main eventing, damn it.
Yep.
All right, man. Be good, brother.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, thanks a lot, bud.
All right, I hit record, so whenever you want to start. All right, man, we are right now driving in Pennsylvania on I-84, just a couple hours removed from ISW, Burger King and Ring 2, Double Whopper, and just an hour or so removed from Johnny Hendricks totally getting robbed of the title in UFC after beating the shit out of George St. Pierre. But before we get on any of that, man, we hit something. I'm not sure what it was we hit. It wasn't a human being.
It had four legs.
It had four legs. It went running across the road here, and we hit it. It wasn't a deer, because we're still alive, and there's no damage. We fucking ran something, though. Run over with a coyote or a mountain lion or a fox or...
Somewhere in the vicinity of, what was it? Somewhere in Middletown, New York. But, yeah.
So,
it's 2:53 a.m. right now, and we just entered Pennsylvania, and, hell of a show tonight there, Tom.
So, yeah, obviously I'm Tom Richards, and I'm here with Mike, but it's not Uncle Mike. It's Mr. Outlaw himself.
The Outlaw.
Michael Falcone.
One of the most feared men in wrestling podcasting right now, apparently.
Well, I like to welcome you to the list of being banned from sites that go pondering about stuff. Welcome to our clubhouse.
Thank you. Yeah. I guess, yeah.
But yeah, on to the wrestling. ISW, Burger King and Ring 2, Double Whopper was tonight in Danbury, Connecticut. Couple hours removed. What do you think of what you need to show?
I thought it was a great show. Obviously, it was a show I've been looking forward to really since March 16th, because that was when we came up here for 3D, which was one of the best shows I've ever been to live. I thought, you know, that was a hell of a show. And this was a great show, too. I didn't think it was as good as 3D, but there were people at this show who thought this was, like, the best show that they thought this was better. So, like, I think that says something where, like, if they thought this show was better and I'm saying, no, the other show is better, I mean, you're still got two great shows. Yeah, like, I think, and everybody had a good time, you know. I think you look around, anytime you, like, you know, I just had a chance, like, just to look around during, like, all the matches and stuff like that. Everybody was just so happy, everybody's just smiling, just having a good time. And I think, like, that says a lot, too, you know what I mean? Like, no one was there, I don't think, bored, you know? I think everyone was just kind of having a good time, and seemed it, you know? I think that means you got a good show on your hands, I think, when that's the case, so.
Again,
really, I mean.
Really hot crowd.
Yeah.
But you're absolutely right, it wasn't as good as 3D, and it wasn't as good as the show, the Armageddon Apocalypse, either. But it's not to say it wasn't a great show, because it was a really fun show from top to bottom, and ISW, it's something different. They do their own thing, and it's a fun thing, man. You know, some nights turn out really awesome, and tonight was a really fun night. That's cool, and everybody seemed to be having a good time. It seemed to be about 125 people or so there. It was pretty packed.
It was packed,
man.
Yeah.
It lends itself to a great atmosphere in the building for these shows.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, a lot of fun. Let me see, I'm trying to think any, like, pre-show notes. Like, the one thing I like about, going to these shows, too, is, like, that, you know, you can go sit right up against the ring, and I think, like, you know, that says a lot when you're right up there, right close to the action, because I think, what was it, the Food Fighters match, when Bill Carman hits that shot, like he did on, like he did back in March, and you're right there just to hear it too. You know what I mean? Like it's pretty crazy.
Like
so.
The whole front row standing against the ring, like we're all selling for it.
Yeah, that was certainly something.
Definitely, absolutely.
So I came in a little early because I was
Why don't you tell them about this thing? Because they had the pre-show sriracha.
Sriracha
Pro Man.
I don't put that on my food, so I don't know exactly how to pronounce it. But
and they had the House of Hardcore.
Yeah.
Man, so why don't you tell the people about them?
All right, let me tell the people. So I got there early. Plus, they had with the VIP. You were able to get in the building early enough, so I wanted to ensure I got my spot in the corner like I did last time. So getting there, I'm walking in as they're introducing these Sriracha Pro guys. So one comes out as a milkman. I think that's what he was called, was the milkman. And I believe the other guy, the chili kid or chili boy or something like that, he was dressed like a chili pepper.
And
the milkman won. And he won the Sriracha Pro title. They even have a title made. So wow. I guess it'll be around because it'll look like a nice title too, actually. I mean, it was a fine match. I mean, it was obviously, like, these two guys, like, in these gimmicks, you know? But the one, I think it might have been the milk guy on the chili pepper, but I could have these mixed up. But, like, he gave him, like, a chop, and it was, like, it rang, like, almost like a Bill Carr chop. It was pretty heavy, and that's what I remember about this match the most. And the milkman won. And the other match was Vic Delicious against Ben Ortiz. Ben Ortiz, Tom, is the guy, if you remember, when we went to House Hardcore, he's the guy who looks like MVP. Like, he has, like, that body. It's not like he looks like MVP, but, like with that outfit. His outfit is, like, similar to MVP, where it's, like, that full body.
Yeah,
and he fought Vic Delicious.
I know exactly both of them are. Yeah. That's why I stayed outside.
Yeah. And Vic Delicious is, I guess, what they're... Well, they're both the trainers. We're 48 miles to Scranton. They're both, like, the trainers that, I guess, they have both, you know, help out Tommy Dreamer, I guess, in this, with his school. And, I mean, this match was okay. It wasn't much of a, you know, nothing I would really particularly go out of my way to watch, you know? Like, from how I am personally as a wrestling fan. But, you know, whatever. So, you know, they have a... Next was the costume contest. And at this point, everybody kind of starts walking in. That was, you know, basically had a general admission after they let the VIP people in. And there were five different people, or five different tag teams, I should say, dressed up in their costumes. This was run by Ben Gordon, who was dressed up the Big Boss Man. And he had a guy dressed up like a chef. Was there judging, and a guy wearing some very rather frightening mask was there, and Someone else was there too, I forget. Oh, Matthew Ryan Shapiro was there. This guy who managed Necro at the last show. Yeah. I like this guy a lot. I like him. I think he's got like something about him, I think, where it's like he's like that little weaselly character, you know, where he would fit just as well like on like a TV show or like on a movie or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, I think he plays like that. Like that character pretty well, whatever character it's trying to be, you know, like that, you know, weirdo lawyer, I guess. But they had a couple dressed like DX, a couple dressed like Macho Man and Scary Sherry, a couple dressed like, what was it? What was the guy and the girl? They were DX. The other guy and the girl was Macho Man and Sherry. You had the Horseman.
Horseman, actually wearing actual horses' heads.
Yeah, they were wearing horses' heads, dressed like wearing robes. One had an Arn Anderson neck brace on. One was Chris Benoit and had a thing around its neck. And one was Michael. Oh, that was, yeah, that was great too. And had the Bears jacket. And oh, the BWO. One was the BWO. And I swear to God, this guy looked just like Stevie Richards, and the other guy looked just like the Blue Meanie. You would have really thought it was them, and I kind of wanted them to win in a way, just because I thought it was so good. Oh, and another team, the fifth team, was the Tremendous Inc. So, the Horsemen ended up winning the contest. I think they ended up, a couple of them ended up coming out at the end of the night and gave the winners their tag titles.
I thought they all did a tremendous job. Everyone that dressed up in that contest looked great.
Yeah.
And they all deserved to win. Good stuff.
They all deserve to win the $10 gift card to Burger King.
They all did good, man. It was awesome. They all deserve a hand. Let me give it
to them. Yeah. So then the main show starts. They had TDT against the Best Friends Forever of Jigsaw and Akuma. And good opener. Good opener, I thought. Yeah, definitely.
Fun opener. Perfect. Another, like, really perfect opener. It was a really fast-paced, fun match. They did some real nice stuff. They worked well together and came off really good, and the crowd was into it. Boom. Perfect, man.
Definitely. One thing I could say about this match, too, is, you know, Jigsaw is really good. It's always, when Chikar closed, not to talk about Chikar, and by the way, to talk about Chikar, there was a guy who looked just like Mike Quackenbush at this show, and when I say he looks like Mike Quackenbush, I mean, he looked exactly like Mike Quackenbush. You thought it was him. Maybe it has something to do with this angle, you know? This whole wrestling is angle, whatever the hell's even going on.
He was in Danbury, Connecticut.
He was in Danbury, Connecticut tonight, yeah. So, the one thing about this match, it's always good to see Jigsaw, you know, because you only see Jigsaw now. Yeah, Jigsaw was one of those guys, I guess, he's like a man without his country, because that was one of his home bases. So it's always good to see Jigsaw, you know. And Akuma is the guy, I think. Akuma was a guy I wasn't really high on a couple years ago, just because I always thought he was just a guy who was just kind of there on a treadmill, just going around, just really wasn't doing much. He had a run in CZW. When Kimberly was his manager, and it really wasn't too memorable, you know what I mean? It wasn't much going on. But he's really, you know, stepped his game up in the past year and a half, you know. So he had a match with Johnny Gargano and Chikara, you know, and that was a hell of a match. So
yeah, he's had some really fun matches earlier this year. FIP. He's been going down there. He's even the Heritage Champion. Fun little run. He looked good tonight, too.
So, yeah, you had TDT Advance with, I forgot, and I'm not going to be good with the finishers with most of these now because I didn't write them down.
They had a couple real good false finishes at the end.
Yeah.
Where at one point I really thought Jigsaw had come one.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a spot in this match I thought, too. Yeah, you had to check out, look for that.
TDT went over.
They
got over strong.
Yeah. Next match was the Food Fighters of Pasquale and Bastion Snow against or Pasquale. I say Pasquale. I think that's the Pasquale is the Italian pronunciation of it. They fought a really fun team, actually, Ajaka and Leon St. Giovanni.
Yeah.
Who were managed by John Harder. I remember him because Leon St. Giovanni and John Harder. Not to give this promotion any plugs, but I think they're not even a business. But they were on the old Strip Club Pro show that we went to a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Or last year it was. Yeah. So Much better situation this time around because they had Jaka. And I like Jaka. Jaka's an entertaining guy. He had a funny part of this match, I thought, where, you know, he's like this big ferocious animal, and they had like the Food Fighters were trying to like tame him, and like he was started giggling and stuff like that, and then he just started up just going like my dog, where she'll go on her back and just kick her feet up and stuff like that, like having a good time. So eventually he got to be more ferocious. I guess he was kind of going after this bone, because I guess there was a bone that Jocko was going after, and ended up going in the hands of John Harder, who was on the outside, and then Jock ended up doing a dive onto him onto the outside. So it kind of ended up playing like that, where him and St. Giovanni really weren't like on the same page, you know what I mean, for the most part, you know. And anyway, so the Food Fighters advanced. Okay match, you know, I mean, yeah, it was like, the thing is, like, it wasn't like an in-ring match, no, like the last match, comedy. But it was a comedy match. It was very well. So I think that's when you watch this match.
Remember one spot where they got the bone. They put the bone in Leon St. Giovanni's pants. Jaka gored his own partner to go after the bone, beating him up just to get the bone off, which I thought was fucking fantastic. Served his purpose. They did a good job with it.
I thought
Pasquale and Bastion Snow won.
So the Food Fighters advanced. The next match.
Good stuff.
Yep. The next match was Glad Bad and Craigless Homo, along with I don't know his name. I'm sorry, but he was small though. He was even smaller than I was. they wrestled the Bad Boys, who just got out of prison, making their return. They don't like faggots, they said.
They did a really funny pre-match promo where they were reading from a Bible, different chapters, and they were reading different verses, and it ended with a verse paraphrasing something about touching the forbidden fruit.
Yeah.
And they said that proves that God hates faggots.
like they were building it up like they were going to be like very forgiving, and all of a sudden when they said that word, you know, that's when everyone's like, oh, and then, you know, boom, then the match starts. And another very good comedy match. The Bad Boys are of course 3.0. I think that's one of the characters ISW does that we will reveal here. That, you know, you hear, like, you know, 3.0, everybody likes 3.0, and I preferred them to the Bad Boys, to be honest with you. But I think here it was like a fresh act, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
something different.
This is where the Bad Boys like started.
Yeah, this is where they started, and I think like they were kind of be a little bit more vulgar, you know what I mean? Watch obviously what they were saying and stuff like that, and
this is great to have them back.
Yeah, definitely. It was fun, and I enjoyed this match a lot. As far as like a comedy match, you know, going on, and the Bad Boys advanced, went on to the next round.
After using the Bible.
Yeah, in with the Bible.
Entertaining stuff, man. Thumbs up.
Yeah. Next match after this was maybe my favorite match of the four first round matches. It was Kitsune and Shenron, or Kitsune and Shenron. I forget exactly how to pronounce it.
Kitsune and Shenron.
Yeah. They wrestled Dan Barry and Bill Carr, who are awesome as like these cops, and they won me over at the last show too.
Yeah.
And here they were just, you know, great. Insane. They were great. Yeah, I really like these guys a lot. Bill Carr chopped Kitsune so hard that like it went, like he left such a mark on him. Like, you know, you what? Like when Kitsune came out for the second half, the second round match, like he still had like that mark. Just, oh my god, like permanently etched right on. It looked like it was crazy. Good match, lots of high flying, because you had the high flying against two guys that were, you know, good bases. And like the team with no name advanced when they did like a great double team of like a Shenron's like first rope 450 splash into the Kitsune Shooting Stars press. So that was really cool. Again, like I said, best match of the first round.
Yeah, Kitsune's fantastic, man. He's a fucking blast to watch. I just wish he worked more places.
I wish he's
fucking great.
I wish we got to see him in more places.
This guy's a loser for that kid. Shinran, he's another kid, man. He is really fun to see live. And sky's the limit for him, too, man. He can do a lot of great high-flying stuff. Looks like he has a bright future. And,
I think he's the guy...
I love Barry and Bill Carr, man. They're fantastic as a team. And this really surprised me. I thought Bill Carr and Dan Barry were going over and just advancing. But Shinran and Kitsune got the win to advance. Great stuff. I think this is the opener where the two standout matches of the first round of the tournament.
Yeah. Yeah, like the two good in-ring matches I felt bookended by, like, that were bookended to, like, these two matches in the middle that were, like, more comedy and fun stuff like that, you know, so. The first half closed with the King of Crazy title. Pinky Sanchez defended against Chris Dickinson. And really good match. This was another good match, I thought. These guys were crazy. And, yeah, just went out there. There were, like, a lot of head drops. A lot of, there was some spots where, man, they got, like, I thought, like, dude really hurt himself. You know what I mean? Like, you really, and maybe yeah. They did. You know, you don't know.
A couple of scary head drops on Pinky Sanchez where some other scary looking bumps.
Because Pinky watched this one spot where he went to go for, like, this moonsault to the outside. And I'm wondering, like, if at the time he has, like, a concussion or something like that, he's messing these spot. He messed that spot up because he can't even fucking think straight because he just got dropped on his head 1 minute before, you know? But, yeah, really good match. Pinky Sanchez retained with two moonsaults. Not two at the same time, but, you know, did a moonsault, and then went back up, did him again, pinned him. Fun stuff. Fun first half.
Yeah, I thought this match was really good. Like, they both went balls out and they were going for it. Not everything ended up being smooth. And there was a couple botches and whatnot, but they tried hard, man. They were working. The crowd was into it.
The crowd was,
you know,
very
good match. You know, on another night it could be fucking awesome. Tonight it was just good.
This was a match where, you know what though, this was a good match where I think it's like that old, I always say this, it's where I think a good match was even better because the crowd was so into it. So this was a good match that was made to be great at times because there were the people who were so into it and so appreciative of what these guys were doing that I think, you know, it really added to it. So this can be a lot of fun to watch on the show.
I want to add Pinky did a dive off
the
balcony of the building.
Yeah, that was great.
Definitely cool visual.
So yeah, good first half. Everyone, you know, really into it. Like I said, everybody just had a good time. All right. As it's 3:13 here. So, second half starts. And I think they went, what is it? Right into the tag team title tournament for the second half. It was TDT against Shenron and Kitsune. And these guys had another really good match. You know, each other, obviously, they're both their second time working for the night now.
Yeah.
And like I said, Kitsune had that mark still on his chest, too, for the Bill Carr chop. And TDT went over here. All four worked very hard, and TDT advanced and went to the finals. And I thought this, like I said, was another good match. The one thing you know, in a way, like, these were, like, the two teams that I wanted to see the most in this thing. So, like, to have them in the semifinals, it was certainly, you know, it's always bad when it's like, one of these teams got to go, you know what I mean? Can't compete for the belts. But, you know, hey, someone had to. And TDT advanced, yeah.
So. I agree. But we got to see him work. It was a really good match. And TDT, man, I'm happy to see him get the push.
TDT, I think, is a team now. You see them, like, they're in Beyond and... you know, you wonder where they're going to be next. I think they'll probably be another team that, you know, you're going to watch out for this upcoming in 2014, like Shenron, I think, where maybe they'll branch out. And really, it's ISW that's giving these guys really their first shot in the States. So that's something to say about ISW, you know, for being, you know, kind of having that foresight.
Thomas Dubois, Marcus, Matthew St. Jacques.
Yeah. So,
TDT, man.
Yeah. So, other semifinal match was the Food Fighters against the Bad Boys, and the Bad Boys came out and they were jaw-jacking for a couple minutes. And I think like the guy that they that was with Craigslist Homo and Gladbad was with them, wasn't it, right?
Yeah,
so what happened
they,
was
like,
he
they,
wanted
like,
him.
They kidnapped him in like
yeah.
The earlier match.
So he wanted, or they wanted him to hit like one of the Food Fighters with the Bible, and he refused to, and they kind of like end up rolling, and like the Food Fighters end up rolling the Bad Boys up and got the pin. It was really like a 1 minute match, not even.
Yeah,
I mean,
it
so
was, like,
it,
really
it went
short.
Real, yeah, went real fast. So that meant that your main event then was TDT against the Food Fighters, which, if you remember going back to 3D, was the match on there. I'm from 3D from Dan Barry back in March, so this was a rematch from then. So I thought that was really cool that, like, you know, this was a rematch from that first match, and here they are, both teams again in the same building now, wrestling for the titles. So that was cool.
Let me say, though, I will say this, though, everything. Like, this was a really short match. They said to a minute, and then they did at the end. They did a spot with the dude that they kidnapped from the Glad Boys.
Yeah.
And everything in that was pretty funny.
Yeah, it was all funny. Yeah.
I mean, it was comedy, but it was fucking awful.
Oh, awful.
Yeah, it was awful.
You know, like,
everything they did was bad with that guy. It was really bad. The timing was all bad. It was all bad.
Yeah. I don't know who that guy, like, really who he is.
Obviously,
I mean,
he's not Trey.
Yeah.
But whatever. Yeah.
So, let's see. Next match was for the ISW title. Was Is He Dead Yet? Against Bux Belmar.
Yes.
Who is a guy you're either going to love or you're going to hate because he made everybody.
I fucking love Dirty Bux Belmar.
There were
man.
Some people that were going to throw up watching that guy because he was doing some sick shit. But
yeah, he had half the front row on two different sides spit in his hand and then he swallowed it.
Ugh.
That's Dirty Bux Belmar. There's not some match. Him and Frankie Mobster were, I believe it was C4. And they were, like, trying to outgross each other. It was fucking fantastic. But back to this, man. Dirty Bux Belmar is another one of them kids, man. You're going to hear about him. He's fucking great in the ring. He's got an awesome little gimmick. He could keep going places if he wants it.
These guys, like, brawled around the building. And when I say brawled around the building, I really just mean, like, just the bottom floor, you know what I mean? I think they did go to the bathroom. I just don't think we didn't see. Yeah, that's right. We just didn't really see it. But yeah, they were fighting on the floor. Lots of drops on the floor and stuff like that. I thought this was a really fun match.
It's really good. They worked
hard. You know what I mean? Yeah, exactly. I was gonna say, like, I thought they just were both just busting their asses, and I think that said a lot to just how, you know, much these guys kind of wanted to come in the middle of a tag team tournament and have a good title match. And this was good. And I think Is He Dead Yet? He's a good champion for this promotion because he works really hard too. I fan of him, and he retained. Good match.
I thought this match was really good because they worked really hard, and it served both purposes like most matches should. Is He Dead Yet retained, and Bux Belmar got over even more in losing.
Yeah.
So it's like perfect. Boom, awesome stuff, man.
So then the final was the Food Fighters against TDT. TDT come out, they came out first, and they, like, go and grab the belts and the crowns that they had, and they were wearing them and stuff like that, and, like, I was just thinking to myself, I think I said it too to some people, like,
Wrestling 101.
Yeah, Wrestling 101, when someone comes out and they put on the belt and they celebrate before the match starts, they're the ones that lose, and that happened here. The Food Fighters won the match, won the titles, won the robes. This was good, and you know, I'm glad for the Food Fighters because as much as I do like TDT, the Food Fighters are ISW's team that they have, and they're the ones that, you know, have been having like these good tag matches for this promotion now for a while, and now they got the belts, and good for them. I thought this was a a really fun match, good way to cap off the tournament. And, you know, like, the Food Fighters are a team where, like, they don't, obviously, that's where they wrestle is ISW. You don't really see them, obviously, wrestle anywhere else, but I think they work here, and it worked really well. So, that's what I thought.
Yeah, I'm happy for them. I thought it was a great main event, your typical Food Fight style street fight that Pasquale and Bastion Snow been known for in ISW. It happened here. DDT is great in a wild brawl, so it worked really well. All kinds of food got used. And the
Watermelons. The concerto. We gotta mention the concerto spot. They did a thing where they did like the double chairs, like the old etching.
Yeah, with bags of chips.
Yeah, with bags of chips. I'm trying to think what the concerto actually was like. Yeah, that was so much fun to watch. That was, and like these chips just exploded, went everywhere. They went in my hair even. So that was pretty crazy. Watermelon. I think actually was the Bucks Delmer match. I think they're like blueberry was like on the outside, like cereal. So that was another match though. But a lot of food was used. But in this case, you had the Food Fighters win the tag titles, and there you go. They're your Burger Kings of the Ring.
Yeah.
And another good show. Another show that was worth the time coming out here and the time I hyped myself up for it. And I'll be back again. What do you say?
Yeah. Definitely. Actually, you're going to be back next week, motherfucker, because we're going to be talking 2CW this time.
Well, I mean, ISW and Danbury is what I'm talking about. I'll be back. Yeah. Oh, no. It's not wrapping up just yet, but I mean, I'll be back again. I'll be back in Danbury. As long as they're running here, I'll be there.
I wish they'd run there more often. They're fun shows.
Yeah.
Enjoyable.
Maybe. Definitely. I wonder if there's like a place down in Philadelphia these guys could run in. I mean, like, but it have to be like the right place, you know, like some like little club that.
It's gotta be like a small.
Yeah, but the thing about these shows too is like when I'm there, it reminds me of it. Yeah, it's like it's a big party atmosphere with a wrestling ring thrown in there. It's like when I was like in college and we go to my friend, you know, like the lacrosse house where all my friends lived, and they had this giant garage and. Everybody would just have a, you know, having a good time and stuff like that. I just remember, like, having, like, a thought from time to time. Like, I wonder if, like, if you just had, like, a wrestling, if you just put, like, a wrestling ring in the middle of this thing, right in front of, like, all, like, these rambunctious people of all, you know, just maybe drinking and stuff like that, whatever is going on. So, this is kind of like that, and I thought it was a lot of fun. It's a lot of great atmosphere, and obviously, ISW in Connecticut's a show where you got to go live when they run because... It's definitely a great live experience that the DVD doesn't quite pull off, you know what I mean? Not to say that if the DVDs come off good, I think they do, but definitely. Nothing's like when you go to somewhere live, and I think this is like an example of that, so.
Definitely is worth getting an ISW in Danbury, Connecticut once in your lifetime, at the very least. Really fun show, fun atmosphere. It's not really duplicated anywhere else. They definitely... go for more of that like punk rock type of feel to their shows, and it works. It's different from what anyone else is doing, man. So they got a cool little thing going on here for now, which is awesome.
So that's the ISW review. What anything else? Or you don't? I'm sure if you have anything else to say, you'll probably just say when you record the rest of this show, right? It's been about a half hour, so not too bad. But, I'll be back now on this show next week because we're going to be talking 2CW. And that's going to be... God damn, that's going to be a hell of a show, too.
That's on free iPay-per-view, so everybody listening to this can watch it for free, man.
I wish that Watertown show was on. Not the Watertown, whatever.
Yeah, Watertown.
Yeah, Watertown. I wish that was on.
That would be awesome. Yeah. Oh, damn it.
So, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's about to be 3:24 right now a.m. Just about headed home. Thank you guys so much for listening. I guess you'll be back in 2 seconds, I guess.
Dumb
the rest
Dumb
of your show,
man. Check it out on DVD when it comes out. Definitely worth your time.
Can't go wrong.
ISW is always a good time.
Definitely, I agree. 100%. The show is definitely a thumbs up. And I'll be on the show next week, so hey, I will talk to everybody then.
Shows in a row.
Yeah, that's right. I'll be back in next 2 weeks. That'll be fun. So the November to remember continues. And, anything else to say?
That's it, man. I'm gonna be back in a couple seconds with that other.
We want to thank both Colin Delaney and Michael Falcone for being on the show this week. Good stuff, man. And one thing to add to the ISW, they did announce on Twitter the next day that they plan to be back in Connecticut for their next show at the end of March. Ooh. An exact date should be announced soon.
Cool.
Another show we got to watch this weekend on iPay-per-view on Sunday night was Dragon Gate USA Freedom Fight from the Lyceum in Brooklyn, New York. Or as you like to call it, Death Hole.
Oh, yeah, it looks like Murderers Row, like something out of a...
Yeah, this is
scary movie or
the nicest looking building in the world. But they had a nice crowd. Yeah, they packed it pretty good. You know, whatever the number was, I don't know. But it was packed. But we did watch the show, and they did have iPay-per-view issues both Saturday and Sunday. You know, I haven't seen the Saturday show yet.
No.
When I checked last night, it wasn't up yet. I didn't check before we recorded today, though. But the Sunday show started off. First, it wasn't on at all, and then it came on during the first match.
Yeah.
Then it was getting a lot of lag. But somewhere along the way, in the near the later part of the first half, they kind of got it rolling, and it was pretty good the rest of the way. So a couple of early matches are hard to judge, but the second half was all perfect, and later part of the first half, so that was good, all the good stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Show itself, I think it was a thumbs-up show.
Yeah.
Like, the second half was pretty blow-away, so that alone makes it, like, a must-see show.
Yeah.
But, the undercard had its hit and misses, but once it got rolling, it seemed to be pretty good. Just Dragon Gate, this weird man, only two guys came over from Dragon Gate, which just seems like it's getting less and less. I mean, it was supposed to be three. Mm-hmm. Genki Horiguchi had travel issues, but it's, like, none of their main guys anymore, and it's just, like...
Just Mochizuki and Susumu.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on, man, with the whole drive. It seems like they've lost interest in running in the U.S. Like, they just want to come over to WrestleMania weekend. It's kind of sad, but shows were pretty damn good. So let me run down the results. It opened up with John Davis in the ring taking on Stephen Walters.
Yeah, this Stephen Walters kid looked fucking great.
Yeah, Stephen Walters looked great. And he sold well, he bumped well, man. They had a pretty good match. Like, John Davis being rebuilt as a monster after his recent losses. But Stephen Walters looked tremendous.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's the same Stephen Walters that, when he was in Resistance Pro, that creative genius Billy Corgan made him a cheerleader.
I wouldn't know nothing about that.
And put him in the women's division.
But glad it was great. I don't know nothing about that.
And the crowd was really hot for it. And Davis ended up getting the victory with his finisher. And looked good in doing so.
Yeah.
Then the second match was Jervis Cotton Belly versus Mr. Touchdown. And again, the stream was pausing and starting and lagging. And but this match was really short and seemed like pretty much just a squash to get Mr. Touchdown over.
Yeah, I was expecting more out of this match.
Yeah, they didn't really have a back-and-forth match. It was all just Touchdown hitting a bunch of spots and moves and showcase for Touchdown. He looked good in the process.
Yeah.
Then he got the victory.
Yes, he did.
So then the stream started working much better as Chuck Taylor took on Jimmy Susumu. These two started out with a lot of comedy. And it was really funny stuff. And then it did break down into a pretty, really good chain wrestling match.
Yeah.
It ended up being a really fun, good match. And it ended when Susumu blocked the Awful Waffle. And got the pin.
Yeah. great match. I liked this a lot.
I did. A lot of good comedy spots, a lot of good wrestling. It was good all the way through, man. Chuck Taylor's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Same with Jimmy Susan. Real good stuff for their spot on the show. Then we had Elimination Tag Team title match, non-title, as the new open night of gate champions, the Bravado Brothers, who beat the Young Bucks for the titles Saturday night, took on Collab Conley and Andrew Everett, and Jigsaw and Fire Ant.
Yeah.
And this was really, this was non-stop, man. It was with three teams, and there was all kinds of crazy high spots and moves and good stuff. If you're into Drag Gate product, you really enjoy it.
Yeah, and there was a real good added plusness that Larry Dallas got the shit kicked out of him in the beginning of the match.
And that's always a good thing.
Yeah.
But in the end, the Bravado Brothers were victorious and went over. He got the victory. And post-match was the newsworthy bit as Jigsaw turned on his partner Fire Ant and laid him out. And after the match, he grabbed the microphone and said that Fire Ant was the weak link.
Yeah, dead weight.
Dead weight was the exact word. So I guess Jigsaw is going on his own as a heel in Dragon Gate USA.
Yeah.
That came out of nowhere. I didn't see it coming, but it was awesome. It worked.
You know? I didn't call it, but as they were standing there and it was just taking time, I was like, thinking in my head, he's turning on him. And then, bam, it happened.
Well, it happened already.
Oh, yeah.
Then we had Ricochet versus Anthony Nice.
Oh!
And these two were fucking great together. Had a really good goddamn match.
Yeah.
And he's got the win with 450, man. And Tony Nice, man, got to go over to Dragon Gate for a tour. And he's just fantastic. I like Nice a lot. And good match here. And Ricochet, goes without saying, is fantastic. They did awesome moves and a whole lot of shit. And I like Anthony Nice's whole heel character with Su Young and Apollyon with him, man. Yeah. Works out really well.
Yeah, I agree.
He got the win here. Good stuff.
Very, very, very good match.
So then he went to intermission. And when it came back, it started with Rich Swann versus Trent Beretta. And these two tore it up, man. They just went out there and went fucking nuts. And the crowd was just eating it up.
Yeah, they couldn't stop singing.
They were in the ring, out of the ring, all kinds of dives. And goodness, man. And it ended when Rich Swann hit the Phoenix Splash and got the three count. And really good stuff down the stretch. Really good match overall. And really, it seemed like these last two matches really got the show rocking. Then we got Masaaki Mochizuki and AR Fox against the Young Bucks. And this was every bit as awesome as you would think it was.
Yes.
Like, I can't say enough good things about this match. It just kicked my ass.
Yeah.
Totally great, all four of them. And the Young Bucks end up winning the match with more bang for your buck on AR Fox. Mm-hmm. The Bucks then demanded that they wanted tag team belts and they wanted a rematch right now. The Bravado Brothers came out acting all heelish and beat them down. Well, first they said, all right, you can have the title match now, and then turn heel and beat them up with the belts and left them laying out, which would be a double turn for you youngsters out there. As in one segment, they successfully turned the Bucks' face, which was an uphill battle since they always get cheered. Anyway, they turned the Bravado's heel.
Yeah.
And it works out better, because the Young Bucks are better as faces, and the Bravados are better as heels anyway.
Yeah.
And that was it.
It's kind of weird, because in a way, they really weren't baby faces anyway, the Bravados.
Yeah.
Think about it. They sure weren't cheered in the three-way match.
Very true. This is why it kind of works. Now you can just be heels, since they're cheering them anyway.
Yeah.
Then we had a Johnny Gargano roast. And this was, I don't know, man, this was something, I'll say that.
Yeah.
As they were handing the microphone around the fans that were ripping on Gargano, and it ended up where Chuck Taylor came out, and
although that was funny when the guy says, it looks like your mom cut your hair, and he goes, my mom's a licensed beautician.
Yeah.
He came right back with that. That's
looks like
that
your mom
out.
Cut your hair. Yeah, he said, my mom's a beautician. Chuck Taylor came out and cut a promo on him. And then Rich Swann came out and sang a song, man.
Mm-hmm.
And was really cool. He sang a song and he changed the lyrics to it. That were all the lyrics were about Chris Hero kicking Gargano's ass.
Yeah.
It was all right. It was something. It was kind of there. And that led to the main event of Johnny Gargano defending against Chris Hero.
Utterly amazing.
Yes, one of those matches worth going way out of your way to see.
Yeah.
Chris Hero was back, and these two had a hell of a match, told a great story. They even had one spot where Johnny Gargano acted like Triple H and hit Chris Hero with the pedigree, and Hero kicked out and won, which I thought was fantastic. Mm-hmm. And Gargano ended up getting a win with the Gargano Escape, and a really awesome match.
Yeah.
And then Gargano left the ring, and Chris Hero cut a really awesome promo.
Yes.
And said he wants some gold, so AR Fox came out and said, any place, any time, and me and you for the Evolve title. And then Hero continued to cut his promo about leaving WWE and how this is a brand new journey and he's so happy to be back and how great all the young guys look. Really nice promo and end the show.
Yeah.
And after so-so first three matches, this thing really kicked in and kicked ass. I highly recommend getting the replay on VOD at WWNLive.com.
Yes.
Thumbs up show. Good stuff.
I agree.
They ran the night before in Queens, New York. And let me pull up the results here. As they ran Fearless on Saturday night in Elmhurst, New York at the Queens Borough Elks Lodge. And here's what happened. John Davis defeated Earl Cooter.
Ooh.
It was Collab Conley and Andrew Everett defeating Biff Busick and Steven Walters. So I'm interested in seeing that.
Yeah.
Love Biff Busick and Andrew Everett.
Yeah, plus Earl Cooter's on
there. Yeah. Trent Beretta defeated Chuck Taylor. In a four-way freestyle, A.R. Fox defeated Mr. Touchdown, Shane Strickland, and Fire Ant to retain his Evolve title with the low main pain. Ricochet defeated Rich Swann with a 630. I'm very interested in seeing that match.
Yeah.
Tony Nese defeated Jimmy Susumu with a 450.
Wow.
In a non-title match, Masaki Mochizuki defeated Johnny Gargano. And in the main event for the Open United Gate Championship, new tag team champions as the Bravado Brothers defeated the Young Bucks with a gentleman's agreement to become new Open United Gate tag team champions. Congratulations to the Bravado Brothers, man. Very worthy new tag team champions.
Sounds like an awesome card.
And that's what went down with Evolve. They're available right now on VOD, or they might not be available right now, but they will be soon, I should say, I guess, on VOD.
Yeah, last check week, it wasn't.
Yeah, right.
We're waiting to see it.
Exactly.
Sounds like a good show, though.
Moving from Dragon Gate, Ring of Honor returned this weekend, as they had a double shot in Dearborn and
Michigan.
No, they didn't do Michigan with Dearborn this time. They did Columbus, Ohio.
Well, wasn't Dearborn in Michigan?
Yeah, that's right. I'm sorry. I was thinking like they used to do Milwaukee and Michigan together.
Yeah.
So night one in Dearborn, Michigan, they had an estimated attendance of 300 to 450.
Wow, they're really giving a nice gap there. 300 to 400 to 400 to 450 range. Where'd the other 150, you know?
Jay Briscoe defeated Silas Young with a J-Driller. He laid out an open challenge to Silas. The open challenge and Silas Young accepted it. In a three-way match, Cedric Alexander defeated T.D. Thomas after decimating Bobby Fish with a dropkick. Ring of Honor World TV title, Matt Taven defeated Zach Gallen to retain. After the match, Taven, Truth Martinez, and Scarlett grabbed a crutch and attempted to add insult to injury, but Tommaso Ciampa ran out to make the save. Jay Lethal defeated Eddie Edwards. After intermission, it was R.D. Evans with Vita Scott defeating Hakeem Zane with a second rope gut buster. Vita Scott called out Tommaso Ciampa, who was attacked by Matt Taven with a crutch from behind. Caprice Coleman got the pin on Kyle O'Reilly in ACH, pinning Kyle O'Reilly. Mark Briscoe versus Michael Elgin went to a no contest when Silas Young came out to attack Mark. Jay made the save, but was attacked by Elgin, which led to Mark moonsaulting to the floor. Roderick Strong defeated Davey Richards with a roll-up pin. It was ROH World title match in the main event. Adam Cole successfully defended the title against hometown boy Jimmy Jacobs via the Canadian Destroyer after evading the Contra Code. Post-match, BJ Whitmer puts over the main event and Jimmy Jacobs. And that was what went down in Dearborn. And then Saturday night in Columbus, Ohio, is Pursuit Night 2. Silas Young defeated T.D. Thomas. Jimmy Jacobs defeated Sick Rick Matrix. Jimmy Jacobs talked about wanting the main event at Final Battle and knows that it's impossible, but does want to challenge a Final Battle. Nigel informed that the Final Battle is full, and Jacobs left out shaking his hand. Tommaso Ciampa defeated Mark Briscoe with a top rope Falcon Arrow. Outlaw Inc. defeated the American Wolves to become the number one challengers of tag title, and will get the tag title shot at Final Battle. I guess this is the part where we talk about Davey Richards and Eddie Edwards are getting a tryout. I believe it's a one-week tryout down at NXT. They were part of a camp a couple months back. And everybody else got either told they were signed or not signed. They never got nothing. Apparently the story is Triple H originally decided to turn them down. And somebody got in his ear and told him that was wrong. And they got him to change his mind. So they're getting another look this week down in NXT. So obviously this weekend Ring of Honor had him job all weekend, because there's a very real possibility they can get signed, and this could be their last Ring of Honor dates. Mm-hmm. So, they used them to put over their own talent, which was pretty smart. And hopefully the best for the American Wolves.
Yeah.
Continuing on. ROH World Champion Adam Cole successfully defeated ACH in a Proving Ground match with a Figure Four. They announced the March 22nd return to Dayton, Ohio. In a four-way, Michael Elgin pinned Roderick Strong to win the match. It also involved Matt Taven and Jay Lethal. Stephen Carino interviewed Jay Briscoe in a segment that got interrupted by Cole and Elgin and ended with Cole throwing Jay's version of the Ring of Honor title on the ground. And in the main event for the Ring of Honor World Tag Team titles, the Red Dragons retained their titles, defeating the CNC Wrestle Factory after chasing the dragon, described as unreal, a match of the night. Post-match, Caprice Coleman put over Cedric Alexander big way, but breaks up the team without turning on him, thus allowing Cedric a shot as a singles guy.
When was the last time you saw that ever happen?
Yeah. That's different. I'm excited about it, because Cedric Alexander is really, really talented. And if you've ever seen any of his North Carolina work, man, the guy can go. And
oh, my God, yeah.
I'm really excited to see what he can do on the singles.
Both guys. I love both guys. I think they're both great.
Yeah, I agree. And that's what went down, Ring of Honor, this weekend.
Sounds good.
You know, Final Battle will be coming up on December 14th, and we'll have more about that next week.
Is Zach Gowan going to be used any further, or is it just...
I think that they were just in the area.
Just to use that for TV or whatever?
Yeah. Also this weekend, Beyond Wrestling ran all weekend. Their tournament for tomorrow, too. They had secret shows on Friday and Saturday. So, Friday night, here's what went down. It was Block A, the tournament for tomorrow. Green Ant defeated Hanaya Huntress by forfeit due to injury. Then he defeated Aaron Epic in a non-tournament action. Matthew Palmer defeated Jules Malone. Really happy to see Matthew Palmer getting a shot up here in the Northeast, because he's down from Texas, and that kid is crazy, man. He'll put his body on the line.
He's great.
Anthony Stone defeated Alexis Navia. Darius Carter was given a bye into round two. Matthew Palmer defeated Anthony Stone. Green Ant defeated Darius Carter. And in the finals of this bracket, Green Ant defeated Matthew Palmer to advance to the finals of the tournament for tomorrow. In non-tournament action, AR Fox defeated Shinron. Well, I'm looking to see that. Looking forward to seeing that.
You got that right.
Christina Von Erie defeated Candice LeRae. And Kimberly defeated J.T. Dunn.
Sounds good. A lot of good stuff there.
Saturday night, The Block be on The Secret Show. Kimberly defeated Rory Mondo. Christina Von Erie defeated David Starr. Allison Kay defeated John Silver. J.T. Dunn defeated Candice LeRae. Darius Carr defeated Anthony Stone in a non-tournament match. Matthew Palmer defeated Johnny Cockstrong in a match where the entire ring was covered in broken glass.
Wow.
Told you about him being crazy. Eric Corvus defeated Jules Malone. Aaron Epic defeated Jesse Vane. JT Dunn defeated Christina Von Erie to be in the finals for Block B. Kimberly defeated Allison Kay to be in the finals of Block B.
Yeah, that's good.
And then JT Dunn defeated Kimberly to win Block B at a tournament to go to the finals against Green.
Sounds like good shit.
So that brought us to their big Sunday show, tournament for tomorrow, too, from the FET in Providence, Rhode Island. Another packed crowd. And it was like a 5+ hour show, and it was all said and done. It opened up with a fatal four-way where John Silver defeated David Starr, Rory Mondo, and Matthew Palmer via submission on Palmer. Alexis Navia defeated Jules Malone. They had a 10-team gauntlet match, which was won by Team Tremendous when Dan Barry hit a shooting star press to win it for him and Bill Carr. Michael Elgin defeated Jaka with an Elgin bomb. Post-match, Elgin did the warm, and Jaka spoke, putting over Elgin post-match, but then said Elgin wasn't as strong as Chris Dickinson.
Ooh.
Christina Von Erie defeated Allison Kay via submission. In a 60-minute Ironman match, Biff Buzik defeated Eddie Edwards one fall to none.
Wow.
Biff finally got the first fall after Juman suplex off the top rope with 5 minutes left. Edwards had Buzik in a submission, but Biff refused to tap and thus won the match. Biff's post-match promo sure makes it sound like Eddie is going to WWE. Hmm. We just talked about that. Kimberly defeated Candice LeRae for a small cradle.
Yeah.
Beyond Wrestling announced they'll return at a FET February 16th and March 16th, 2014, and that CZW would debut on Sunday, April 27th, all in Providence, Rhode Island. It's becoming a hotbed up there.
Yeah.
Some hot indie action. Dirty Bucks Belmar defeated Eric Corvus. Chris Dickinson defeated Tommaso Ciampa. Dickinson and Jaka attacked Ciampa after the match, but Elgin made the save. And in the tournament for tomorrow finals, JT Dunn defeated Green Ant to win the tournament. JT hit a running leg drop off the apron to Green Ant, who was laid out on the stage. Congratulations to the Juice, JT Dunn. It sounded like another successful good night for Beyond Wrestling this past Sunday at the FET in Providence.
Sounded like good shit.
Absolutely, man. We just got America Ronnie, and we're going to watch that soon. And we'll talk about that in the next couple weeks. So also on Saturday night, besides the ISW and the Ring of Honor and the Dragon Gate, we had IWAD South ran their Carnage Cup this weekend, and Matt Tremont is your new 2013 Carnage Cup winner as he defeated Ron Mathis and Spider Boudreaux in the three-way final.
Mm.
And congratulations, a crazy man, Bulldozer Matt Tremont.
Yes.
PWS also ran on Saturday night, and their iPay-per-view didn't work. So you can actually get Wrestle Bowl available right now for free. Just go to Pro Wrestling Syndicate's website for more information. And on Sunday, we talked about Dragon Gate USA. We talked about Beyond. Anarchy Championship Wrestling returns at Lone Star Classic.
I guess we should probably get to the results of this, huh?
I gather.
So, yeah, Lone Star Classic. And here's what went down this past Sunday night in Austin, Texas, man. They had attendance of 180 to 200. And Lone Star Classic 2013, match number one, the infamous Sean Vex defeated Volt Brady and Thomas Shire to advance. Match number two, Pierre Abernathy defeated JC Bravo and Hipster Steve to advance. Match number three, Ace of Anarchy, Davey Vega, defeated Jeffrey Gant and Barrett Brown to advance. And in the fourth and final first-round match, Absolute Ricky Starks defeated JoJo Bravo and Jason Silver to advance. In a grudge match, Killer Cash defeated ACH by submission. For the ACW Tag Team titles, the champions, Two Dudes with Facial Tubes, Paul London and Jack Jameson, defeated the submission squad of Evangelistico and Gary J. to retain the titles. In the Lone Star Classic semifinals, infamous Sean Vex defeated Pierre Abernathy, and Ace of Anarchy Davey Vega defeated Absolute Ricky Starks to advance to the finals. In a four-way one-fall-to-a-finish match for a championship bout at Guilty by Association, Darren Childs defeated Scott Summers, TV champion Angel Blue, and Jessica James when Childs pinned Jessica. After match, Darren Childs announced he would challenge ACW Hardcore Champion Matthew Palmer for his title at Guilty by Association 8. And in the Lone Star Classic final, the Ace of Anarchy, Davey Vega, defeated the infamous Sean Vex to become the ACW Lone Star Classic Champion of 2013. And this, like all Anarchy Championship Wrestling shows, will be available through SmartMarkVideo.com soon. And that is what went down this past weekend on the independent scene.
Yes.
So what do you say we get to what's going on this weekend? This Friday night, we already talked about a lot earlier, 2CW's back, man. With a doubleheader.
And give a quick plug for Thursday.
Oh, yeah. Thursday is Battle Arts up in Oshawa, Ontario, Canada. I don't have no matches or nothing in front of me. But if you're in the Oshawa area, go check out Pro Wrestling Battle Arts because they always put on a killer show.
Yes.
Now, on the 2CW, man, Friday night, get ready. They're returning to Watertown, Pennsylvania.
New York.
I'm sorry. Watertown, New York, yeah.
If you were in Watertown, Pennsylvania, we'd be going.
7:30 p.m. Bell Time, Exhibition Hall. Listen to this lineup, man. This Friday night, in the main event for the 2CW title, Isis FX will defend against Jason Axe. For the 2CW tag titles, Team CK defend against Tommy Dreamer and Colin Delaney. In a woman's attraction, it'll be Mischief one-on-one against Jessica Havoc. That should be interesting.
Oh, yeah.
In a six-man tag attraction, it'll be Kevin Steen and the Young Bucks versus Johnny Gargano and the Irish Airborne. That alone makes me want to make the drive. I wish it wasn't like 5-6 hours away. Yeah. In a special tag team attraction, it'll be the Dojo Brothers of Eddie Edwards and Roderick Strong taking on Punisher Van Slyke and Kevin the Man Graham. One-on-one special attraction, Rhino versus Michael Elgin. Plus, it'll be Justice versus Nick Ando. One-on-one. And in a six-man tag, it'll be Second Class versus EMT, Dick Order, and Ben Hammond. And that's all this Friday night in Watertown, New York. If that's not enough, biggest show of the weekend, 2CW's 99 Problems. It's live. It's on iPay-per-view, and it's free. It's a free-per-view this Saturday night, 7 p.m. from Binghamton, New York, man. Get your tickets now. One of the best places to see independent pro wrestling in the country. And listen to this lineup in the main event. 2CW Heavyweight Champion on the line, Champion Isis FX. Defends against our guest that we just heard earlier, Colin Delaney. Also, 2CW tag team titles on the line in a three-way tables war. The champions, Team CK, will defend the titles against Punisher Van Slyke and Kevin the Man Graham and the Irish Airborne.
That should be crazy.
In a women's match, one-on-one, it'll be Jessica Havoc versus Mickey James. It'll be 30-minute Iron Man match, Johnny Gargano versus Jason Axe. Special attraction will be the Dojo Brothers taking on the Young Bucks. It'll be Kevin Steen, No Holds Barred, taking on Jay Frey. In a quadruple conflict, there'll be Nick Ando versus Gregory Iron versus Dalton Castle versus Adam Pearce. What a mix of four men in one match. Retribution, Slick Wagner Brown takes on Cheech. One-on-one, Michael Elgin versus A.R. Fox. That's all this Saturday night. It's free. What the fuck? That's it, man. Make sure you watch it this Saturday night, and we're going to be there live. At least I'll be there. Mm-hmm. We'll have full details next week, man. Check it out. It's free on 2CW. How can you go wrong? 7 o'clock this Saturday night. Nothing's better than free, and that's a stacked lineup. But if 2CW is not your thing, it's not the only thing in town this weekend on iPay-per-view. As Premier Wrestling Experience returns in the North Carolina area with a double shot this weekend. As first Friday night, they present Climbing the Ladder with a 7 p.m. bell time. And on the show this Friday night, for the PWX Tag Team titles and a ladder match, it'll be worst case scenario defending against the Los Bendejos. In a dream match series, Cedric Alexander will go one-on-one with Chris Hero.
Oh, fuck.
For the PWX title one-on-one, Collab Conley defends against Tony Nese.
Holy fuck.
John Silver will take on Zane Riley.
Oh, man, Steven Walters.
Lance Lude will take on Steven Walters. And John Schuyler and Man Scout Jake Manning will pick your partner challenge match. Also appearing will be Alex Reynolds, Corey Hollis, Adam Page, Rich Swann, Mystery Lee Drew Myers, Leva Bates, Sue Young, Andrew Everett, Amber O'Neill, and Amanda Rodriguez. That's this Friday night in Hickory, North Carolina.
Stack show.
And then PWX returns Saturday night to iPay-Per-View from Charlotte, North Carolina on HighSpotsTV.com. If you have HighSpots TV subscription, it's free. If not, it's $9.99. This Saturday night at 7 o'clock. From Concord, North Carolina, not Charlotte, at the Cabarrus Arena. Here's what they got. It will be Chris Hero versus the loser of the PWX title match Friday night between Tony Nese and Collab Conley.
Tony Nese or the winner of Collab Conley versus Rich Swann.
It'll be Chris Hero versus Rich Swann versus the loser of Tony Nese versus Collab Conley on Friday night. One-on-one will be Leva Bates versus Sue Young. It'll be John Schuyler versus Man Scout Jake Manning in a grudge match. Also on the show will be Worst Case Scenario, Ethan Case, Elijah Evans, Zane Riley, John Silver, Los Bendejos, Mr. Lee, Drew Myers, Andrew Everett, and more. That's all this Saturday night. It's on iPay-Per-View at HighSpots TV. If you've never checked out PWX,
you gotta start.
Fun little promotion. Start. Definitely worth checking out. And Chris Hero's going to be there, man.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, they're going to have a four-way ladder match for the title. As if Collab Conley's still champion, or if he loses his replacement, versus Adam Page, Cedric Alexander, and Corey Hollis, all for the belt. This Saturday night. How can you go wrong? PWX, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. 3, 7 o'clock, check it out on iPay-Per-View or live.
That will be good.
But also on Saturday night, if you live north of the border, C4 is back with Triumph. Their 6-year anniversary, man.
Wow.
From Ottawa, Ontario, Canada, the Veneer at Columbus Club, get ready for this lineup. Main event, one follow with Finnish C4 champion hacker Scotty O'Shea defends against Dirty Bucks Belmar. In a grudge match, Speedball Mike Bailey will go one-on-one with Psycho Mike Rollins. The C4 Tag Team Championship is on the line when the champions Brent Banks and Jay Rukin defend against Rocksteady Alex Vega and John Greed. In a single showdown, Player Uno goes one-on-one with All Ego Ethan Page.
Real good.
In a ladies showcase, it'll be Vanessa Craven teaming up with Mary Lee Rose, taking on Angie Sky and Jules Malone. In a C4 address, anniversary State of Union, MVP Michael Von Payton will speak. In a Four Corners Tag Team Frenzy, it'll be TDT versus Radioactive Way versus Checkmate versus The After Party.
Wow.
And in an open challenge, Brandon Slayer and Adam Sky have challenged Twiggy to get a partner and show up for a tag match.
Oh, yeah.
Plus so much more, Ontario, Ottawa, Ontario, Canada, Saturday night. 7 p.m. C4, 6-year anniversary, Triumph.
Cool.
Also going on Saturday night, On Point Wrestling returns with Fight to Survive. New location in Williamston, New Jersey. Doors open 6:30, bell time 7:30. Featured on the card, main event, three-way tag team dance. Xavier Cross and Drew Blood team up against the Best Around and your Siren Portal. I haven't seen the Best Around's name in forever and a day.
That's weird, because we talk about them with Colin.
No DQ, it'll be Zebra Prince Joey Janela versus Bulldozer Matt Tremont. JPW Lamanai match, Crazy Ivan versus Pinky Sanchez. Chainsaw Joe Gacy takes on Dirty Daddy Chris Dickinson.
Dirty Daddy.
Junior Heavyweights collide when Oz Tyler takes on Shane Strickland. Plus Sam Shields versus Angel Ortiz and LJ Cruz versus Robbie Marino. Latin Dragon versus Mascara Celestial. And a whole lot more. OPW this Saturday night. 7:30, Williamston, New Jersey.
Jersey.
And Wrestling Is Fun returns for their final show of the year.
It might be the final show.
I was going to say that in Reading. We'll see if anything happens. Yeah. They've been killing off all the wrestling is. They'll show up with Peel Slowly and See in Reading, PA. With a 7 p.m. bell time. And the lineup looks like this. First time ever, the Throwbacks take on Devastation Corporation. One-on-one, Shinron takes on Juan Francisco de Coronado. It'll be Fire Ant versus Cobalt. Lance Steele versus Kodama. The Baltic Steeds versus the Block Party. Frightmare versus Hio del Ice Cream. And Portia Perez versus Princess Kimberly.
Wow.
Oh, this Saturday night in Reading at 7 o'clock. And finally, Wrestling Is Respect returns on Sunday with their final show of the year. So we'll see if anything goes on this weekend as they return to Bhutan.
One of them's got to be
Elks Lodge.
One of them's got to be closed.
With 4 p.m. bell time. And on this show, it'll be Green Ant and a partner versus Drew Gulak and a partner. It'll be Jesse Brooks versus Vita Scott. It'll be Jervis Cottonbelly versus Delirious. Leech Landa versus Snow Troll, Gran Akuma versus Chris Dickinson, and Frightmare versus the Shard, plus Jay Diesel versus Asad King, all this Sunday afternoon in Boonton, New Jersey, at 4 p.m. bell time at the Boonton's Elks Lodge, man.
And I make a small wager? I say one of them closes.
Yeah, I probably.
maybe both.
And that's what's going on.
I'm not laughing because they're closing.
This weekend. Extreme Rising tickets are on sale.
Yeah.
They had a couple matches. Let's look at this lineup. December 28th, Philly, PA at the old ECW Arena.
Lookout.
Unfinished Business, it's entitled. We'll have Stevie Richards will defend the Extreme Rising World title. His challenge is yet to be accepted. They're working on trying to get AJ Styles for that night to actually do Stevie Richards versus AJ Styles. We'll see if anything comes from that. In an Extreme Lucha Libre family warfare, it'll be Super Crazy and his nephew Pasadilla versus Damian 666 and his son Bestia 666.
That'd be good.
It'll be Rhino versus Devin Storm. It'll be Homicide, Suicidal, Genocidal Sabu versus Facade. And more to be announced with Matt Hardy, Rebby Sky, Blue Meanie, Papa Don, Joe Gertner, and more. December 28th at the old ECW Arena.
Joe Gertner's not the promoter.
No, Joe Gertner's not the promoter. But he will be on the show. Yeah, that was an inside joke. And that's what's going on this weekend, man.
Yep, sir. So that's it, right?
Yeah, that's about it, man. I don't know if there's anything else to talk about. FIP is going to be back in 3 weeks with a double shot on iPay-per-view, and Roderick Strong's going to be on the show.
Thank God.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess that's about
it. What's going on?
I think that's about it.
No, nothing, no anything.
Now we need to talk about that I can remember. I think that's about it. I'm not written down, so I guess we can get out of here. It's been a good show. Yeah. Calling Delaney on, Mike Falcone on. Yeah. And,
good job.
Yeah.
So thank you a lot, Colin.
We will be back next week with a live report from 2CW. And
yes, you will.
One of our favorite guests will be returning next week right here in the program. We will have AAW owner Jim Lynham coming on back. If you've never listened to any of our previous Jim Lynham shows, go do yourself a favor and go check the archive and check him out. A hell of a guy. Runs AAW. And we're going to be there next week in AIW and AAW. 2 weeks. Next weekend, actually. Yeah. Thanksgiving weekend. So we'll have all kinds of fun live stuff from out there and all that. We only have a few shows left this year, actually. Because I guess I'll say it now, looking at the calendar, the way it shakes out, is the end of December. The last 2 weeks of December is Christmas and New Year's. So we're not gonna do a show on Christmas or New Year's, because obviously Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve, Christmas Day, New Year's, a lot of family stuff going on and whatnot. I wouldn't want to ask any wrestlers to take time out from the holidays with their families. And obviously, we're going to be with our families, too. So, that means the last 2 weeks of the year, there won't be a show. So, that leaves us, like, six shows left, if that. And we got almost every week booked, man. We're going to end this year with a bang. We got a lot of good guests coming up in the next few weeks. So, I hope you stick with us, man, and support independent pro wrestling.
Yes.
Until next week with Jim Liner, man, we appreciate you.
Big Daddy.
Listening. Anything else before we get out of here?
Not that I can think of. Meaning, I want to spin the Dixie wheel.
You want to spin the Dixie wheel?
Yeah, I want to spin the Dixie wheel.
Wheel of Dixie?
Oh, yeah, the Wheel of Dixie.
Go all the way to Dixieland.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, boy.
Be good. We're out. Hit the fucking music.
If you having girl problems, I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one. I got the rap patrol on the gas patrol. Foes that want to make sure my cash is closed. Rap critics to save money, cash holes. I'm from the hood, stupid, what type of facts are those? If you grew up with hoes in your zap for soul, you celebrate the minute you was having dough. I'm like, fuck critics, you can kiss my whole asshole. If you don't like my lyrics, you can press fast forward. Got beef with radio if I don't play they show. They don't play my hits, so I don't give a shit. So, rap man, try use my black ass. So advertise to give them more cash for ass, fuckers. I don't know what you take me as, or understand the intelligence that Jay-Z has. I'm from rags to riches, niggas, I ain't dumb. I got 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one. Hit me.
Everything you say to me.
Year's 94 and my trunk is raw. And
in my rear view mirror is the motherfucking law. Got two choices, y'all, pull over the car or bounce on the devil, put the pedal to the floor. And I ain't trying to see no highway chase with Jake, plus I got a few dollars I could fight the case. So I pull over to the side of the road, I heard,
son, do you know I'm stopping you for?
Cause I'm young and I'm black and my hat's real low. Do I look like a mind reader, sir? I don't know. Am I under arrest or should I get some more?
Well, you was doing 55 and 54. Large as the registration, it's the body of the car. You carrying a weapon on you, I know a lot of you are.
I ain't stepping out of shit, all my papers legit.
Well, do you mind if I look around the car a little bit?
Well, my gloves are parking his locked, so it's a truck in the back. And I know my rights, so you gon' need a warrant for that.
Aren't you sure for that? Type of law or something, somebody enforcing something.
I ain't past the bar, but I know a little bit enough that you wanna legally search my shit.
Well, we'll see how smart you are when the K-9 comes.
I got 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one. Hit me.
Everything you say to me.
I got 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one.
I got
99 problems, but a bitch ain't one. I got 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one. I got 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one. Hit me.
Drop it, fellas, y'all.
Your boy's back. Young is back.
Come on.
Hit me. I really stand.